This is PFW in progress.
Move to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
Is that him?
I am in charge of this situation.
Well, you're in charge. Well, I got some bad news for you. I'm not the one who just got butt-f***ed on national TV.
Brian Maury.
I wanted this to be professional, efficient, adult, cooperative. Not a lot to ask. So he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Paul Perillo.
Roy, you all right?
Better fire than a thousand-year-old twink.
Where do they put in these things, man?
Sugar and rich flour, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, Holly sorbate 60, and
yellow dye number 5.
And Andy. And Andy?
Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9? Terrorists 6 or more armed with automatic weapons at Nakatomi Plaza.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Andy Hart.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Some guy named Tom.
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
PFW in progress.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It's the, I guess you call it the post-draft edition of PFW in progress. We're all back. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo. After 6 hours this weekend covering the draft, the Patriots draft class of 06 is in. We're going to talk about it for the next 2 hours here on PFW Progress. The web address or email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And let's see, what else do we have?
You could call it the pre-2007 draft edition with Tom Casale's expert analysis.
Oh,
looking ahead.
Tom is actually going to do a little preview of what the possible, draft possibilities will be for 07, but we'll get to that some other time. Right now we're talking about the 06 class, and have we any word on the free agent signings?
Yes, we do.
As I speak, Danny Hart has some information for us.
Okay,
these
are not official, but have been reported by, as is usually done, the local or the school paper or something, the player kind of
school paper.
Yeah. Okay. Corey Bramlett, quarterback, Wyoming. Tom, stop me at any time if you'd like to comment on any of these, okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen him play. But
I have heard
the
of
team.
Him.
Okay.
But, yeah. His brother's Casey. Probably heard of him, too.
Okay, Keon Jackson, defensive back, Toledo.
Never heard of him in my life.
Sam Smith, safety, / linebacker, Delaware State.
It is interesting that they grab a guy from Toledo because they spent some time scouting that school.
Okay.
You know, so anyway, go ahead.
They spend time scouting every school.
No, but you know.
When? Like because of Cazier?
Yeah. You know, they know guys, and Belichick says that a lot. We found out about this guy when we were scouting this other guy.
But I agree with that 100%. But I also think that you could literally do that with if you're Bill Belichick with absolutely every single person in the country.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I think he'd be able to give you an example of a guy he noticed when he was scouting so-and-so.
He has a history of multi-drafts from the same school.
And we'll notice that as I move forward on this list a lot.
That's true, Freddie.
He signed every tight end that wasn't drafted.
Oh, Gary, nice. You made my other ear work. Sam Smith, safety linebacker, Delaware State. Paul, do you have anything to offer?
That's Delaware State, Andy. That's
different than Delaware.
Yeah, yes.
Lower or higher?
Much lower.
Lower. He has to throw much.
It is.
It's going to be lower. They could play handball against the curb.
Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, I believe that is. The MEAC.
MEAC. Okay, now we have a couple Florida players to join the pair of Florida players in Mincy and Jackson that the team drafted from Bill Belichick's new best friend, Urban Meyer. Vernell Brown, a cornerback / kick returner out of Florida. And Randy Hand, a tackle out of Florida.
Gary, Mr. Hand.
Oh, actually, there's a third.
Yeah.
Jarvis Herring, a safety out of Florida.
Okay.
Yes, my brother was talking to people at Florida yesterday.
On dope?
Because he's working on the Chad Jackson profile. And the gentleman that he spoke to said, yeah, you guys got 5 of our guys down there. My brother wasn't sure of all the undrafted free agents. So he was just like, yeah, okay. He was like, what is he talking about? So I knew they had three different Florida guys. Urban Meyer, definitely the newest member of the inner sanctum.
Well, now, before you go on, Belichick spent considerable time.
You said we could talk about him in the middle.
Belichick.
Actually, I said Tom could talk. I didn't say you two could talk.
Belichick spent considerable time in Florida this offseason. So
fell in love with Billy Donovan as they made their run in the tournament.
It's conceivably spent some time with Urban Meyer.
Oh, I like baseball very much.
Spent a lot of time with Jeremy Mincy, which I found somewhat interesting. Sixth-round pick.
Can I continue?
Yes.
I've heard some good things about
Mincy. I've heard a lot of good things.
Needs to be molded. See, the thing...
Unfortunately, not any from him.
What one thing about Mincy that I know of is talent-wise, exceptional, but he's not always motivated. Now, that's a guy I think Belichick would take in the sixth round, knowing he's maybe getting second or third round talent, and they can mold him and motivate him.
We're going to get into this, I'm
sure. Take a flyer on the guy.
Right. After Andy gets done with the list, I know he's getting all upset over there. We're going to get into this, but I think that Mincy is one of those guys, and we seem to get one every year, Fred. He's one of those late-round picks that had much more value, I think, to the Patriots in their system than most other teams. I just don't, as a defensive end, as a defensive lineman, he doesn't fit. He's not big enough. That's why he was available in the sixth round. But he has potential to play another position for the Pats, and I think that he might be one of those sleeper picks without having seen the kid. We'll see when he gets on the field.
Okay.
They look for a diamond in the rough with Buffalo defensive back Jamaro Williams. Vanderbilt wide receiver Eric with a K, Davis. Virginia
What's
guard.
What's the guy from Buffalo's name? I'm sorry.
Jamaro Williams.
Jamaro Williams, okay.
Buffalo's in your league?
No, Buffalo's MAC.
Oh.
Mid-American Conference. That's your boys' league, Roethlisberger.
Virginia, Al Groh's team, guard Brian Bartholomew. Alabama, this is actually the one guy on the
Freddie
list.
Roach.
Tom and I really like Freddie Roach, linebacker out of Alabama.
Yeah,
we watch tape.
The interesting thing is that a lot of the middle linebackers didn't get drafted. Our boy Oliver Hoyt, Kai Parham, Freddie Roach, these were all ranked in the top 10 of middle linebackers, and they all went undrafted. And as we liked Oliver Hoyt, but we admittedly said we were pretty much the only ones for some reason. But Freddie Roach, I was really surprised didn't
get
drafted.
Now, when you say middle linebacker, do you mean, you know, the prototypical middle linebacker or someone who can play in the middle in a 3-4?
No, these are guys that can play in the 3-4. Alabama runs all different kinds of stuff, so they run some 3-4.
But more of a Mike, a guard-to-guard. You're not asking
Ted Johnson
to run all over the field.
These guys that played like Ted Johnson in college.
I'm just wondering that maybe
stout plugger.
A lot of these guys didn't get drafted because they just didn't fit into NFL systems. I don't know.
Possible. Maybe, but Roach, I mean, he's had two bad knee injuries, which is another reason. He was ranked in the top five by a lot of people at middle linebacker, so it was surprising that he went undrafted.
I think a lot of guys that play like that in college now, Fred, aren't athletic enough to play in the pros. I think if they have more athleticism in college, they're not wasting them inside like that. They're doing a lot of different things with them in college.
Right. Notre Dame, little run here on Notre Dame guys. Corey Mays, linebacker, and Matt Shelton, wide receiver, joins Dan Stevenson, fellow Notre Dame alums, now Patriots. Pierre Woods, linebacker, Michigan. And there's one player who's going to have a tryout during rookie camp, Kyler Hall, a safety out of Florida State.
Okay.
So that is the list as we have it
right now.
That's
like 13, 14 guys?
Yeah, and I hear that Pierre Woods is another one of these underachieving guys. I got to start to question what Lloyd Carr is doing over there in Michigan. All these players have talent, and they're underachieving, and they're not playing up to their ability. I have a problem when you keep hearing that from the same school. So maybe that's another guy, because he's like one of those, like Paul was mentioning, a 3-4 edge rush linebacker that would fit into the Patriot system. So he might be another guy to watch out during camp, someone who has talent and never reached that in college.
Well, they certainly picked up the linebacking depth for training camp that they need. Mm-hmm. Now, whether any of these guys are good, but they've got the bodies now.
Freddie Roach.
They've got the bodies.
Got a chance.
That's
a chance. Could end up on IR for a year.
Well, that could be, you know, you pick one guy from this undrafted list, who you think is going to make the team, and we put a little money on it, maybe?
Well, okay.
Make it a little interesting. You know?
Last year was Mike Wright. The year before,
I remember.
No, and you don't have to pick him until after the first week.
I'm a little something.
I remember during my interview, Fred said to me, "Just don't ever, you know, don't talk about gambling or anything." The NFL
not on
really
on the game.
Everything else we can gamble. Yeah.
Well, after the first week of training camp, we've all seen we get to pick the guy.
All right,
guy
I got no
chance. Sleeper.
I hit Randall Gay 2 years ago. What are the chances I ever hit again?
Maybe you got a knack for it, like Fred does with the kickers.
Yeah, you hit with Robbie Gould last year.
I hit with Ventrone, too. He's still on the team.
He is still on the team.
Still on the team. You know,
I
technically.
Won't say
technically.
We love Bubba.
You know.
All right, so
I think that's a good good pool, though, Fred. I'm you know how I'm in favor of pretty much any pool.
I know that. Yeah. All right, so there's your class. So let's talk about the draft. You've had a little time to digest, dissect, and analyze what happened over this weekend. I heard Mel Kiper last night give the Patriots a B, which was the best grade he gave out in the AFC East. He gave the Patriots and I think the Jets a B. He gave the Dolphins and the
Bills
C's. Actually, I think he gave the Jets a B-. Patriots had the best grade, I think. But what do you guys think of what the Patriots did? And if you have any standouts from other teams, let us know.
Well, I think it was a great draft. In my opinion, they picked twice at 21 because they were thinking about Chad Jackson at 21. And I was telling these guys, you see at teams like the Patriots and the Eagles, they know how to draft. The Eagles took Broderick Bunkley at 14. They were thinking of Winston Justice. Justice slips. They trade up in the second round to get him. The Patriots were thinking of Jackson and Maroney. They take Maroney. Jackson slips. They trade up to get him. Then you take a team like the Bills, who got three calls to trade down and refused and stayed at 8 to take Dante Whitner and then trade up in the first round for a guy they could get in the second.
They could have traded down and still had Whitner.
Right.
Absolutely. That's the whole
picks.
Yeah, they could have had Dante Whitner in the teens.
In
McCargo. Maybe even lower.
Right. Exactly.
McCargo,
they reached twice.
Yeah, they might even have been able to get McCargo at the top of the second round.
But that's why you look at these teams that continue to win, because they know how to maneuver the draft. And I thought, even if Chad Jackson turns out to be a bust, I still think it's a great pick. You trade up, you gave up virtually nothing to move up to get a guy that most people thought was one of the top two receivers in the draft.
A guy worthy of top 20 consideration, right. You got in the 30s, 36, or whatever they picked.
Yeah, that's masterful drafting.
I can't believe as highly as rated as Chad Jackson is, if he's a bust, it's got to be mental.
Right.
Because he's got the tools.
Well, it'll be whether he works. I think he has all the physical to be successful.
The one thing I don't understand is that Urban Meyer is supposed to be a good coach. And apparently Bill thinks so because he's now in that pipeline that we were talking about. So why have your big play receiver playing in the slot? That's the one thing I don't – that's not connecting with me. Why would he do that?
The only thing I can think of is because where he lines up there – you've got more of the outside to work with, whereas if you line up way outside, there's only one way to go, straight down the field or in. So maybe it's a little bit more versatile in the route running from the slot. I don't know.
It just seemed weird to me that he had him doing those underneath routes when he was the fast, big play guy in that offense.
Well,
yeah, but it's funny,
the quarterback,
though.
Did he have an arm?
Chris Leak can
play.
Oh,
yeah, Chris Leak has got a pretty good arm.
Okay.
The only thing I would say, Tom, is that looking at his numbers – and I know he has the eye-popping speed, you know, the 4.32 that he ran at the combine with you guys. Maybe you guys gave him a little extra motivation knowing that two professional scouts such as yourselves were in attendance. But his average per catch was very low.
This is going to turn ugly.
Right. It was very low. The 10 yards.
Do there.
The 10 yards per catch.
It was.
So maybe, even though he has a tremendous amount of speed, and I know Andy made the point on draft weekend that as a sophomore, I think he averaged 22 or something
22,
like that.
23 somewhere.
But a pretty low, less than 30 catches to do that. So maybe they try to use him as like that home run threat, and maybe they felt like he was more valuable. You know, and I know that Meyer wasn't there too, you know, when he had all those big plays. But maybe they said, this guy, we can put him in the slot. He has some, some knowledge of route running and how to get open. He can play in this system, which is obviously much different than what he probably was under Ron Zook. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they saw him in the slot being able to get open at will and just turned into, you know, like Deion Branch. I think Deion Branch could be a big play receiver, but he really isn't utilized that way with the Patriots. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Right. I think most of his work is done underneath, and you know, occasionally they'll send him deep, but I think Givens actually went deep more often than Deion Branch did, and I think we'd all agree that Branch is probably a more dangerous receiver than Givens, but yet they seem to send Givens deep more often than Branch. I think they might look at Chad Jackson as a shifty inside guy that can make big plays after the catch and kind of get some matchup, exploit some matchups inside where you kind of get lost in there.
Right. Is he more valuable with 30 deep balls or 85 that he could break going across the middle, doing all, you know, a variety of different routes underneath?
Does Urban have a brother named Rural?
I don't think so.
That's
good way to break that one out, huh?
And Suck Up over there is just laughing like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard.
Stop talking.
He's probably laughing because it was so stupid he couldn't believe it.
That's exactly why I'm laughing. Hello, Larry. Gary, did you ever hear of Hello, Larry sitcom in, like, the late 70s?
I see, Gary heard of it. All right.
Should we let listeners in on the
fact
that...
Might as well, you know.
You wanted the cover words for the upcoming issue of Patriots Football Weekly to be Hello, Larry?
Hello, Larry, even though the guy's name is Lawrence.
Brainstorm.
And Hello, Larry was a short-lived TV show that became a punchline for the worst in all of television.
That's the joke, but that, you know, brainstorm.
So you're saying the running back, who's not even really called Larry, is a punchline for the worst pick of the draft?
Hello, Larry.
But we kind of glossed right over Maroney, though, in talking about the draft. We went right to Chad Jackson. I'm really excited that, you know, we finally, we've been talking about this for a long time.
I think they finally got their back of the
future.
You guys were right. I don't know what it was, February we're talking about. You guys said they really need to draft this running back. And I said, there's no way they're going to draft
a
running back.
Well, the thing is, Fred, is that there's an argument going around whether or not Corey Dillon is done or not. That's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant.
He's turning
right.
32, and his name's not Emmett Smith or Walter Payton.
Yeah, I don't care if he had 1,500 yards last year. They still need a running back.
See, that was how I felt about it all along. Now, I'm not going to lie and say I knew they were taking a running back, because I didn't. I just thought it was a possibility.
But they didn't. In the history of pro football...
I got to figure, if Ty Hill was there, they would have taken Ty Hill.
Probably.
I think they would have.
But in the history of pro football, only two backs, big backs, 32 years or older, have ever gained 1,000 yards. Marion Motley and John Riggins. So what you're looking at is... It's not whether or not he's done or not. He's getting older. Bottom line, he's taking a lot of punishment.
Is that right? That's a great factoid.
Yeah, there's only like
four.
Does
that depend on what your definition of a big back
is? Yeah.
But there's only like four who have ever done it. It was Franco, Peyton.
Emmett Smith?
Emmett never did it after 32.
Really?
Yeah, it was...
Bettis?
He almost did. He had nine.
Never ran for 1,000 yards after 32?
He had 970.
That tells you all you need to know. I mean, who was...
Curtis Martin? How old is he?
Curtis might have been the fifth. I don't know how old he was when he did it. But when I got the stat, there was four. It was Franco, it was Peyton, it was Motley, and it was Riggins.
Right.
So those were the four. But that just shows you how hard it is. And the one thing I noticed, I don't know who I said this to, but when we were watching the Colts in the New England practice on the field before that game, and you know how much I hate the Colts,
right.
I turned to somebody and I said, it looks like the JV's getting ready to play the varsity. The Colts just looked so much faster on that field. And the one thing the Patriots added in this draft was speed, and that's what I liked about it. They got young, athletic, speedy guys, and that's going to help their number one commodity, Tom Brady, be even better.
Well, I know speed was a big factor, a big thing that they were looking for.
And they got it with both guys. But interesting, Tom Brady was on local radio this morning, and I guess Bill Belichick called him at the end of draft day one and joked with him, you better score 40 points a game next year.
He's going to be, Curtis is going to be 33.
So he was 31 when he
So he was 31 the last time he ran for 1,000 yards because he didn't do it last year.
Right.
So that list may still be accurate. Yeah.
And the other about Maroney, I love the Jackson pick. Love. These guys will tell you I've been raving about it since it happened. Maroney, the one thing I really do like is the fact that he's a home run hitter. When was the last time the Patriots had a guy that first and 10 at the 20, there's a chance
yards.
He goes 80 yards. There is a chance.
Corey Dillon had 1,600-plus yards in 2004. We all are in agreement. He was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Could not have asked for a better runner. 44 yards was his longest carry.
I know.
That.
I
think we're all pretty much in agreement on that.
Yeah.
He had no breakaway speed whatsoever.
So it does, you know, the argument whether he's going to blah, 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 it doesn't matter. Because he's not going to run for 1,600 yards ever again. Now, if him and Maroney can combine for 1,600 yards, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, that's what.
And
you
then
need.
In 2 years, when Dillon's probably ready to go, and you have Maroney hopefully in, you know, ready to run for 15 or 16 by himself.
I would say the ideal situation for the Patriots as a team, all things considered, would be Dillon right around 1,000 next year, and Maroney right behind him at 800 or something like that.
I'll even take five, but 800, that
combined
would be great.
Combined for, five, you know, somewhere
what
between
I'm
15
for?
To 1,800 yards.
20-10. 20 carries for Dillon, 10 for Maroney.
The only problem is...
I think that would be fantastic.
I don't know if Dillon's got 16 games in him anymore. He seems to be kind of breaking down a little bit. And there's no... See, people, you hear that, and you think you're taking a shot at Dillon. I'm not. There's no shame in it.
Right.
He's just getting older.
Right. Well,
older.
He told a friend that he's working hard.
It's funny, though, that Tom says that, because it is like you're taking a shot at him. And I've had people accuse me of that as well. And I'm just the way the guy runs. You know,
he's
it's
so
like
physical.
It's like my Keith Folk, comparison. Keith Folk, you know, he doesn't miss many bats. Well, Corey Dillon doesn't miss many tacklers.
Right.
No.
You know,
he
always
like
seems to get hit
them.
Hard. He right. always seems to get hit and take a lot of punishment.
Then he turns
back. He doesn't have a lot of runs where, you know, he gets the edge, you know, maybe gets an 8, 10, 12-yard gain and skips out of bounds. When was the last time you saw Corey Dillon just kind of skip out of
right.
bounds and avoid contact?
Right.
That's not a shot at Corey Dillon.
That's
a compliment.
I actually like.
He's a hard-nosed, tough,
there 30-something.
Tough, hard-nosed runner. This is a I'm complimenting his style. He's probably the epitome of what the Patriots want out of a back, the way he runs. But at some point, when you take so many hits, you have to slow down a little bit.
So we're all in love with the fact that they got Maroney and Jackson.
Love
two,
the picks.
Two weapons for Brady. One guy that kind of intrigues me, and I bring it up because you guys are all working on your profiles for the guys that the Patriots draft, and you're talking to various people who've been close to all these guys, and from what I hear, you're getting some forthright comments.
Mm-hmm. Some good stuff.
One of the guys, O'Callaghan.
Yes.
Ryan O'Callaghan.
A world of talent.
Yes.
Apparently.
Steal where they selected him. He and his coach thought, and everybody else, when you read scouting reports, projected him as a second to third round pick. Some believed he was the best right tackle in the draft. But you get him in the fifth round, maybe a little bit of a question in terms of coachability, quote-unquote, and his desire. He sounds, based on talking to his offensive line coach, Jim Machuk, or something like that, he's one of those guys, once he gets it in his mind that he's going to do something, going to improve something, going to accomplish a goal, then he's going to accomplish it. But sometimes the coach has problems getting him to do that. He felt a little bit like he underachieved in college because he could, in that he was never challenged as much as he might have.
6'7", 330?
344
right now.
Four. Played at times at 366. The coach, again, the weight is another thing. He, in his own mind, said, I think I want to get bigger, and went up to the mid-360s, and then decided, ooh, maybe I'm a little slower, maybe I'm not quite as good, went back down. So it's all internal with him, but physical tools. The guy said he can physically do things that not many people on planet Earth can do with his size, decent athletic ability, and just power. He kills people.
Now, Tom, you've already put out the challenge for him in the weight room, bench press and sled.
No, I'm taking on the guy from Baylor who did seven
my
reps.
My guy.
Seven reps.
Willie Andrews did seven reps.
Now I know I can beat him even with a bum shoulder.
I don't know about that. No, he can't.
But you,
I couldn't do one.
I used to be able to.
I know for a fact I couldn't do one.
About 225? I think Fred looks like a guy. He used to throw it around.
Oh, sure.
Depending on what it is.
But, Fred, you talked
throw some of it around.
You talked about the weapons, but, you know, there's also two other ones in Thomas and Garrett Mills, who I think
sugar
are going to be exceptional in this offense. Thomas, I love him as a tight end, as a pass-catching tight end. And I was talking, I'm doing the Garrett Mills story, and I was talking to his position coach.
Mm.
And you just did the same thing.
I didn't bring it up. I was asked.
And I asked him, you know, for the comparison, and he said the same thing we did, Chris Cooley. And he said, you can't really put a label on this guy. Don't put a position on him. He's not a fullback. He's not a tight end. You should just put NP, no position, because he can do so many different things for you.
Now that we found a little bit more about Mills, because at the time,
we didn't understand the pick.
You know, two tight ends, we were all kind of, why, you know, why do that? Do we understand a little bit? Is there anybody...
This is what I think. Things come back in the NFL, right? Joe Gibbs used to have that H-back set all the time, and it was very effective, and it kind of went away a little bit. Then he came back, he drafted Chris Cooley specifically for that position, and Cooley's been very effective on a terrible offense. And I think maybe Belichick saw something there. He's got a guy similar to that where you can his position coach said, listen, you can line this guy up in like seven different formats, you know, all over the place. He's really hard to block. He was actually so versatile that despite making seven All-American teams as a tight end, they eliminated him from the John Mackey Award consideration because they said he wasn't quote-unquote a true tight end.
Mm.
So he said, you know, as an inline blocker, no, he's not going to make a living doing that. But as far as receiving goes, he said Tom Brady is going to love this guy.
it's interesting. I mean, we could see a very different offense.
Yeah.
In 06 than we did in
05.
Well,
I think you're going to see
a wide open offense. When the season started, they were going to use a lot of two tight end sets and really, integrate those guys into, the plays, but the injuries kind of put a damper on that plan. But it'll be interesting to see what they come out with now, this year.
Another thing along those lines in Brady's interview this morning on local sports radio, talking about Benjamin Watson, said based on what he was kind of getting into at the end of last year, he hopes that he turns into one of the premier tight ends in the league, using last year as a building
block. So do we.
And I think that's how they sort of, have augmented this receiving, core. It's not necessarily they got Chad Jackson, but I think they're also looking at it as, we got Thomas, we got Mills. We're hoping that Watson and Graham, have more time together, that they're healthy. And all of that together, along with Branch, Brown, and Caldwell,
Falk,
fills out your passing game. They're not necessarily looking at it as we need five wide receivers, quote-unquote wide receivers, to do this.
Right.
We can do it with maybe three wide receivers, three tight ends, an NP in Garrett Mills maybe, and go from there with
the
a couple of tight ends.
Having those different types of guys out there, the key to that, it comes down to the quarterback being smart enough to use them.
Right.
And I think
we're not really questioning that, are we?
On this team, that's what you have, so why not get versatile with these types of guys?
And with these kind of players now, you can take Watson, you can do a lot of different things with them,
right.
Split them out wide like the Chargers do with Antonio Gates. So I think you're going to see a lot more flexibility in his game this year.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think the same thing of Mills today that I did on Sunday when we took him. I still don't necessarily understand the pick all that well. Now we'll see when he's used and how much of an impact that position can have, and how many things maybe he can do that Thomas can't. But I still look at those two guys as having very similar skill sets, and not exactly sure there was as much value in that pick as maybe some other people believe. But I thought that day when they took him, and I think today, that he's a very, very good football player who played at a smaller, lesser-known Division I school and maybe didn't have the notoriety. But I know that he was a very productive player in college. I know about Garrett Mills. I know he can play, so I'm not...
But can he play in the NFL?
Right, but I'm not looking for people to say, oh, this guy caught 80-some-odd passes. I'm not looking for him to go out and catch 10, 12 passes on a training camp afternoon and have people say, see, you were wrong about this guy. No, I won't be. I know that he can do that. I've seen him play a little bit, and I know that he has skills. I just don't think that his skills are that different from David Thomas's, that you needed to spend a third and a fourth-round pick so close together to get both of them. Now,
I think
if anybody can do it, and I wrote this already in the analysis, if anyone has the imagination to find roles for both of them, it's Belichick, and he'll do it.
I think as a pure tight end, they looked at Thomas first, but then when Mills was available, they just figured they had to get him.
Well, that
one of those things.
I thought that was a great point by one of our emailers this weekend when they said they weren't rushed into this pick. Bill tells us the end of day
one, of the easier
that you restack your picks and you can get the guy you want. This is the guy they wanted. Whether we like it or not,
no
one wanted him.
He said in no uncertain terms, Saturday night, after the third round, when you're picking in the top 10 or so or the fourth round, you know pretty much for sure you can get the guy you want, because chances are about everybody will have the same 10 picks or so, and five of those will go. But you have a very, very good chance of getting whatever player you want if you pick that high on round four.
And it's interesting you said that, Andy, because his coach after they celebrated the pick, Garrett went over to him and he said, they just drafted Dave Thomas. And the coach actually said, listen, they had all night and all morning to rearrange their draft board, and they still selected you with the ninth pick in the fourth round. He said, they obviously have a plan for both players. He told them, a team like the Patriots just doesn't draft players on a whim.
Right.
They draft with a plan, so they have a plan for both of you, so I'm sure you're both going to fit in there.
Of course, you could insert said quote after the 2003 draft when... fourth round, the first pick of the fourth round, they selected Dan Klecko.
And that worked out for you.
Steven Gutkowski, kicker.
What did you say?
Fourth round.
And that worked out for you.
Gutkowski. Okay.
Yeah, one of those is
something silent right. But we're not sure.
Right? We'll call him something Kowski.
Call him kick the damn ball if it's good. You're good.
Kowski, I believe. I think the T is silent, but I'll look that up.
Maybe Gary Grodecki can tell us how to pronounce Gruskowski.
Grodecki.
Sounds good, Fred.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be him, though. I was out on that field the other day with that wind whipping around. I can't imagine kicking in this stadium. That's the first time I've ever actually been on the field. And just the that's May.
The first time you've ever been down there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the field. And that wind was just like a...
You know, because you can go down there before the games and walk around if you want.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Allowed to do
not
that.
Really supposed to, I don't think.
I think before the game we're... perfectly.
But that's a
if those dingleberries from the TV crews can walk around there. Well, so,
their pass allows them to do that. They have access to that.
Sometimes my pass won't even get me in the press box on game day.
I was going to say there are times that I get a double take to get in the press box.
No, I I used to do that before the games. Used to walk around, get a feel for things. You know.
Now you've jaded and complacent.
But before 9/11, we went on the field every game in all the stadiums. But some places you're not allowed to.
Well, you had to here. That crap stadium.
That's the only way you could get there.
That's right. Obviously, obviously, this was the only kicker the Patriots deemed worthy of being drafted.
But he wasn't that much better than the other kickers on their board.
I'd like, hey, Gary, can we get Ken Flanders on the. I'd like to see what if the Maroney jerseys are available.
Why don't we see if the Gruskowski jerseys are available?
I guarantee he's not at his desk.
We'll try it.
He actually was at his desk as we walked by.
His boss wanted some time with him.
His boss?
Yeah.
Who's that?
COO.
Oh. Okay.
Chris Kuh.
All right. So I know it, like I said, I know it probably killed him to have to take a kicker but in the fourth round, but Gruskowski obviously had to be the best guy that they thought for the job. And people are saying that he's going to be all right.
What people?
People I talk to, kicking specialists.
He's the kicking guy.
He's the kicking guy. Why are you questioning?
You know, so we'll see. It should be an interesting battle.
He's unbelievable. Where does he go?
This guy ever at his desk?
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken.
He's unbelievable. He's never at his desk.
He's getting his boss lunch right now, probably.
I hope he's out there ordering the new jerseys.
Well, he can't actually order them because he doesn't have a number yet on the guys. I know he has. Apparently, you can start the ball rolling by ordering quote-unquote blanks.
69.
And they'll be ordering two gross of each guy because that's the minimum to submit an order through Reebok. So that's 288 jerseys of each.
Okay.
You know, the one thing I'd be interested in, Fred, from the fans is, do you like this draft based on the Patriots' standpoint, or it's because you know who these players are? Because if you look at last year's draft, maybe a couple of huge college football fans knew who Ellis Hobbs was. But as far as Mankins and Kazier are offensive linemen, Sanders was a safety for Fresno State, Ryan Claridge played at UNLV, Castle didn't even play, you know what I mean? So now you're getting big-time Maroney and Jackson and Thomas, guys from everyone
different.
Knows.
It's different.
So I'd be interested
to know. We all know that's all you need to do to please Paulie.
All you need to do to please me, too. That's why I'm wondering if...
Of course, it could lead to a 6-10 season down
absolutely.
The road.
Absolutely. I said it.
I'm the same way. I want to see the big-name playmakers. That's
what
I like.
I was so giddy late in the show on Saturday that I turned to Fred. I just said, there's no way this draft pans out because I'm just way too excited about these guys.
All right. Well, let's... we should get to what our emailers think about it because we have quite a few emails coming in. But we haven't talked about the Kevin Smith. What do you think about him?
The Kevin.
It's LeKeven.
Oh, LeKeven?
Yeah.
I'm going to call him the Kevin.
Talk to John.
Yeah, that works out.
Can I say I talked to somebody or no? Is that against the rules here?
I don't know. Did you talk to somebody?
It's in the rules for me.
I talked to John Blake, the defensive line coach at Nebraska. He used to be the defensive line coach with Cowboys. And he really likes the guy in this system because he said he can play defensive tackle in the 4-3, he can play nose tackle in the 3-4, and he's quick enough to play end in the 3-4. And he said with the way that the Patriots like their linemen to be versatile, he said he's a perfect fit here. He says he'll definitely add a lot, good depth. So this was a guy who, you know, Kiefer had going in the fourth round. He was a guy I wrote about and asked PFW as a possible fit here at backup nose tackle. So I think that was great value in the sixth round to get a guy like that.
He also said Marquise Hill's career is over, right?
Well,
you have to read between the lines to get that out of it.
It's done.
I mean, this would have to be it. I mean,
and
coming out of camp, if he doesn't have a good camp, he's
Klecko
done.
And Hill.
Right?
Patrick Pass.
Hey, can I just ask a question?
Nope.
Yeah. We are...
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
With certainty, we're saying a sixth-round pick is showing the end of you know, anybody, let alone an
undrafted rookie
pick.
Free agent almost spelled
I
the
think,
end of that guy.
I think, yeah, I think this guy's got way more talent than those
upside.
Two.
Tom's big on upside.
Yeah.
You can also tell that Tom's been talking to college football coaches because you keep saying versatile. He's agile. He's mobile. He's versatile. We feel he brings tremendous pressure to the quarterback.
Did you ask that guy if he liked Bill Callahan?
Well, I imagine the answer was no. So I just didn't ask it.
I still want to know.
No one likes him.
Urban has a brother named Rural.
No.
All right, you
well,
didn't
what
get
kind
all
of name is Urban?
I don't know. Hmm? Kind of name is Lakeven.
That's why I call him the Kevin.
When you see the size of him, you may change your tune.
Guy Lafleur? Back when he was the flower?
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is email address. Gary, let's take a break before we get to these emails, but we'll do that right after this.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast digital cable packages. Offer ends 1106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
This is PFW in Progress.
Retirement, actually.
Retirement? What are you, a hockey player? You took an oath. No retirement from this.
PFW in Progress with Paul Perillo.
Well, that's Norrie's favorite. Special Yellow Tail. Tell us if you want to stop.
Keep it coming.
Paul Perillo.
I don't know about you, but ever since we found this place, I catch myself fantasizing about it.
Me too. Sometimes during sex.
Paul Perillo.
I keep this up. I'm going to need clothing and autumn.
You should have called your sponsor before you bought that jacket.
Look at this guy. Members only? How long have you been wearing that?
Paul Perillo.
I caught a parasite over there. Actually, that's why I'm here. I've been dying for a Satriali's veal palm hero.
Paul Perillo.
F*** him. I hope that parasite eats his ass.
Paul Perillo.
Funny? You want a smack in the mouth?
Why?
I'm serious.
Do what your cousin Philly is hurt.
I told you he was a f***.
Paul Perillo.
Honey. Oh, menu.
Paul Perillo.
He just f***ing Audi. I can recite that menu in my sleep.
Paul Perillo.
Sorry, everything's so f***ing morbid. There's a man lying dead over there.
Paul Perillo.
Oh, my God. This eel is delicious. Okay, thanks, Mecca, now.
Like another sake, huh?
And you never know. Glory might stop by.
So maybe we drive up there? Is that new? Oh, the car. Yes. Yes, Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper.
PFW in Progress.
You know what? You want to get something done?
You got to
do it yourself.
All right, PFW in Progress. Fred Kurtz, Danny Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. And we're talking about the
draft. What's up, Vito?
And we're taking your...
Did you see this week's episode, Fred?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
I think I'm going to watch
it. I saw about 20 minutes of it last night. No, 2 nights ago. But
I'll watch it after the Idol kickoff.
What's up, Vito?
Andy, why do you get mad? Why do you hate? Well, I mean,
Seacrest!
You just
got the shield at 24 because I'm a guy.
I know, because, you know, Sopranos, that's real touchy-feely Lifetime kind of television.
Yeah, but I'm not a rich guy with HBO.
Yeah, I know, you need to be rich to have
HBO. Wait a minute, you have a DVR and HD and you don't have HBO?
No.
You spend more money on that stuff than you would on HBO.
Yeah, but I get more out of that stuff.
Well, that's your choice. It's not for the rich, in other words, is what I'm trying to get
like
at.
$6 a month.
HBO is not for the rich.
In your Comcast package that includes HD, HBO isn't included in that?
They usually include one movie channel.
Yeah, you're getting ripped off. What town do you...
By the way, my early reviews on the phone system, not good. Just to let you know.
I got rid of that.
Very sporadic phone service.
How do you have
sporadic
phone? I've never had a problem.
The voicemail doesn't work sometimes. We've had to reset up the mailbox a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't use that either.
It's not good.
I had to get rid of my Comcast phone. It didn't work. The line
didn't
work.
We are on a no-tolerance policy right now,
okay.
Beth and I. The next thing that goes wrong, we have 30 days to cancel it. No questions asked. No fees. We're on a no-tolerance policy. It's on the verge.
I guarantee if you put your wireless on your laptop, there's someone in your neighborhood that you can just use their wireless network. I can use my neighbors across the
talking about his telephone.
I'm just saying if you wanted to get rid of it altogether, if you wanted to...
I tried that. It didn't work where I lived.
No?
I've been trying.
How would that help him get phone? Voice activated?
Oh, you'd have your phone from somewhere else. You get your wireless from a neighbor.
I had talking about his phone. Right. I had no problems. I have no problems whatsoever with my high-speed service from that company.
No, I just thought that you might be upset
with
the company,
you
and you didn't want to give them any business whatsoever.
Might not want to say that.
No, I just
sucks.
I just don't want to.
I did.
Are you sure you're setting up the phone thing right?
That I'm setting, they set it up. So if it's not done right, then they did it wrong.
But how can it be, like, intermittent?
I know. Like, I think it's human error.
What about Tom?
They had seven people.
Tom.
Seven people over to my house, Fred. The phone kept cutting out. There was something in the area with a line or something. It just didn't work. I mean, I gave it 3 months. What else
now,
do you want me to
do? Do you have a different service?
Yeah,
now?
I have Verizon. It's never been a problem
now.
Since.
It's fine now?
Mm-hmm.
It could see they have a lot of sabotage between the companies. Watch out for that.
All right.
What,
you kidding
me? Rolling your eyes?
There's an underworld of phone providers?
Oh, yeah. They have like these...
The black market.
You didn't know that the Verizon people go around late at night and they sabotage all the Comcast
they have battle
equipment.
You remember Anchorman when the different networks meet up and that's what happens with these.
That's
cable
exactly
guys.
What I think of your go cable story.
I thought they all used the same wire on the poles and they just ran different wire to the house.
That's true.
I thought they all tapped into the same major wire.
It depends.
that Anchorman story. Policia.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
We're going to take some emails?
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Al writes in from Valdosta, Georgia. Well, in the words of Dan Reeves while coaching the Falcons, you can never have enough tight ends.
Oh, my heart.
It just blows me away that we have all these college drafts year after year and never draft linebackers. You can make all the excuses you want for why the Pats supposedly may be limited in their options in terms of acquiring linebackers via the draft, but what exactly is supposed to be the alternative? Sign another Chad Brown or Monty Beisel? Move Ben Watson, a linebacker? What is the deal? Has football changed that much from the days when Bill coached the New York and the Giants, kept drafting linebackers year after year? Not just LT, but also Carl Banks and Brian Kelly? Monty Beisel starts next year. The Pats will not qualify for postseason play.
Monty Beisel.
Well, right now he's starting, and Mr. Negativity, you could have said there, what's the option, sign another Mike Vrabel? You don't have to just focus on the two guys that sucked last year. Focus on the good.
Yeah, we've been getting some emails about Tully Banta Kane. We don't think so.
TBC.
It's I believe we're all in agreement that it's going to be Beisel and
I got to think
that
outside. That makes more sense. No one's told me that. You know, for sure, but I got to think it makes more sense to have Beisel inside next to Bruschi and have Vrabel back outside.
Yeah.
And I think either way, it's certainly not ideal, and it's a very thin position.
Right.
There's
you're
no question.
The dice with
but you still have three very good starting linebackers out of the four, regardless of who you put on the field. And I just don't think that's going to keep you out of the postseason. It didn't last year. I don't see why it would this year.
And too little... Others, they did draft a linebacker. Mincy is an outside linebacker prospect. I know he was a defensive end in college, but he is
a linebacker
going to be a linebacker here. And the second thing is, our favorite topic around here, if they have an injury, they could always go 4-3 and move Jarvis Green into the starting lineup or do whatever. So, I mean, that would be probably the fallback.
Either way, I think they're very thin, because I think if you go 4-3 and you have to put Jarvis Green in there, now you're a little thin up front,
right.
I think, because and even if you don't and you move one of the linebackers to maybe you put Vrabel as an end or something like that, I think that weakens you. That's why I don't really think that's going to happen. But they might have to do it out of necessity.
I mean, if one of the if Monty Beisel breaks his leg in the second week of the season,
yeah,
you're scrambling right now to do something.
Yeah. And that would certainly qualify as necessity.
Justin writes in. He's going to be visiting Andy.
Yes.
That's good. He's going to have a little tour.
Andy's looking forward
that,
to it,
Andy?
Justin.
What is that? May what?
I don't know. When he calls me.
Okay. You know, that'll be interesting. Andy's got a...
Justin, just what's your phone number? I want to make sure I answer it when you call. I want to know the number to look for.
And you've got a spare bedroom, you said? You can take him in?
Yeah.
Right
to your house.
Let's see. Justin says, first, it was a great show. I wish it was longer, but live coverage until the end of the seventh round, you guys might end up hating each other.
You wanted that show to be longer?
Second,
Fred was done. He couldn't say a word.
Second, regardless of what one listener says, Tom is entertaining, informative, and despite his aquatic radio voice, sounds like he's coming to us live from Boston Aquarium Starfish Tank, he adds a hint of legitimacy to the show.
Thank you.
Legitimacy.
Thanks. I appreciate the... I think it might have been that microphone we were using.
I don't get any water.
Yeah, we had a little microphone.
We had a problem over there.
Yeah. But all
those fancy TV mics on.
Also, any chance Dave Crisoli could come back? Nothing against Brian Lowe, but Dave looked and sounded like a burnt-out O-lineman reporting on football. Brian looks and sounds more like a guy who keeps track of the burnt-out O-lineman's taxes.
Until next time, I'm Dave Crisoli. Take care.
Brian's cool, just wondering.
I was doing the Dave Crisoli.
Draft. After looking at the draft, I have to say I'm happy with our picks. Maroney and Jackson should help out in 06, and I'm interested to see how our new kicker is in camp. Let's hope we get the non-alcoholic version of Janikowski. At first, I didn't like the blue light special on tight ends, but seeing as how Mills probably will be an H-back, and with his versatility, I'm curious to see how BB will use him this year. Keep up the great work.
Good stuff, Justin.
Good stuff.
I'm curious as well. We'll see how that unfolds in camp. I bet he's I virtually guarantee in August he will be a star.
I'm going to
guarantee. He's going to look good
star.
In practice. There's no doubt.
I'm going to guarantee that he could become the Patriots' Trot Nixon, where he's a cult hero among fans. And just from everything you hear about him, I mean, Andy hates Ayla Brown. This guy makes Ayla Brown look like a drug addict. I mean, he is so perfect in every possible way. It's just amazing. So he's really going to have to stink up the place, not to at least contribute to the team.
All right.
You love him already, don't you?
Garrett Mills?
Yeah.
I like what I've heard of him.
I think that
I'll reserve
a big
judgment
Dan Klecko guy. What if he bumps Dan Klecko?
That's okay.
He's one of your favorite players.
Dan's had his chance.
Mm-hmm.
Dan's last chance was perhaps converting to linebacker, and he just can't do it.
I think that their characterization of Mills is going to be right on. I think he's going to look great in mini camp practices and in training camp.
He's
going to
catch a lot of
catches
balls.
Everything.
And he's also, especially in like mini camps, he's probably going to be running hotter and playing harder than everybody else.
I love how we make that a bad thing. He's running harder than everybody else.
You guys are so
he's that guy in
there
gym
are some
class
drills that you're not supposed
you
to be doing that.
Basketball.
And you should know as the guy who played at a higher level of football than anybody in this room, you should know there are times when you're not supposed to be doing that.
I just think it's funny that, and I fall into this, we've kind of blacklisted the guy because he's so good at everything.
Oh, see, this is almost like
you
that.
You're
this
half not
step a
away from hate already.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, yes.
No.
I'll just say, when you're doing
SPFW
in August, you're going to be mad about all the Garrett Mills questions and how did we steal this guy in the fourth round.
That will be different. That will be different. But how can you do that now? You know, what is the requirement for me to have crossover onto the Jeff Fry team? What has to happen?
Underachiever. Are overachieving.
They have
what?
To say,
no.
Mills.
It's the fans that do it. It's not the player. It's
Mills.
The fans that do it. I don't care about I mean, let's face it, Andy. A lot of these guys are overachievers.
Ball
they don't get this far without trying.
They'll be a GM.
No,
GM,
the fans
GM.
The fans will make the guy out to be more than
he
is. That's when I'll start getting mad about it, and that's when I'll put him on the Trot Nixon, Jeff Fry
right.
team.
What if they start selling jerseys in the pro shop?
He hates fans. He hates anyone who acts like a fan.
He just hates fans.
All right.
Fans.
Oh, let's let's examine why we should love them so much. Let's take, for example,
if there weren't any
the Red
fans,
Sox
we
fans.
We wouldn't have a job.
The Red Sox fans.
I love the fans.
See, I just
I'm a fan of
that total.
I love the Sox.
You think they'd have pro sports without fans?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of... What are you talking about as fans, by the way?
People who pay money to watch, buy the merchandise on TV, in person, or whatever.
So he'll get all these negative emails.
You've got to have a following to have a team.
Okay. Well, I guess in a technical sense, then you're right, then.
Technical?
Because in other words, you're saying they wouldn't put them on TV if people didn't watch.
I know a little thing about fans.
All right. I guess you're right. I think that they would survive just nicely with 60,000 empty seats, by the way. But that's beside my point.
Oh, well, where the fans
that's
are.
That's what I'm talking about.
Where the fans are is not an issue, but you need fans.
But anyway.
Somebody's going to pay the bills.
Right.
We'll talk about these people that you pay homage to. What do you think of like a performance Monday night at the Red Sox game where they, take a guy who I don't really personally care about.
I thought it was great. I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah, that's great.
Tremendous.
Oh, come on. Mr. Sensitive here, you can't boo anybody.
I don't care if you're
having fun.
I don't care if you boo, but have some presence, have some substance to why you're booing someone. What are you booing him for?
He's on the other team now.
He went to the enemy. That's it.
That's why
he's
I boo.
Having fun with this.
Stupid. Going to boo Vinatieri.
Talking about Johnny Damon getting booed. Poor Johnny. Who cares?
And if they boo Vinatieri, I think that'll be equally as ridiculous.
No, I just think that they will.
They probably will because these are the guys that you guys tell me I should be one of.
It's all in fun.
Lemming, who just boos because the guy's on another team.
Are any of us losing sleep about Adam Vinatieri getting millions of dollars to go to the
I'm not losing sleep over any of this, but you tell me I'm an idiot because I don't fall into that crowd.
I mean, why should we...
You're making my point.
Now, if people start throwing things, they should be ejected and never allowed in
the This is what you want me to become.
I'm somehow...
Money was funny.
Yeah, that was
booing
funny.
A guy
that,
is part
that
of
is funny because anybody. You know why, Andy? That shows some cleverness. That
like
shows
it.
Some creativity. But just sitting there, boo! You're on another team now. That's ridiculous.
So
no problem with that. I like it.
And this is what you want.
Sports.
This is what you want to. You know, you need to
Once
become
again,
a fabric of that.
Ric Flair's immortal words. Tom,
to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Actually, I was going with you're either with us or you're against us. Woo!
All right.
He's against us now.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I got no
it.
Problem with that.
I don't mind the booing.
Plus, they gave him a freaking standing ovation when he took his hat off in a pompous gesture.
Well, I don't mind the booing, but some of the personal hatred surprises me. Like people like really start to personally hate you.
So,
guys.
Do you really think that there's a difference between the booing and the personal hatred?
The
people that are booing personally have a hatred.
I just think that's good natured fun.
I think it's
not good. It's not good natured booing. That wasn't good natured booing the other night.
Well, I'm not an expert on booing.
There was there was at least 80%
slides of footage, and that was
80% of that crowd was booing the crap out of him the other night.
Dr. Phil,
you don't think
get
that?
Off your high horse.
So wait a minute. So you really think that the other night it was like a big joke?
Absolutely.
Okay, well if you're right, then I have no problem with that. But I think you're wrong. I think there was well over 80% of that crowd was booing him mercilessly.
I consider myself an average fan when it comes to the Red Sox.
I consider you anything but average.
And I'd be up there booing, and I'd be laughing and booing, and who cares?
That's fun. If it's just like,
nobody wanted to beat him up
now.
Or anything.
I don't even hate Barry Bonds, and he's a jerk. You know?
You can't really hate anyone because we don't know them personally.
Right. Who cares? Sports. It's an outlet. It's a, you know. All right, let's get to Rob.
I boo then.
You're having fun.
It's an outlet.
I waste your time booing if it's just an outlet. Shouldn't you just enjoy it?
Because when you aggravate me, I can't boo you. I can boo them.
I just think it's more fun to actually watch sports and enjoy it rather than worried about not liking somebody.
Paul, when he's like 80 years old with the AM transistor radio with the earplug.
Sit down. Shut up.
Listening to the Red Sox, with like
troop.
Rich cracker crumbs on his shirt and just miserable. Of anyone who makes a noise during the game.
And I could see you watching the same game and going, this guy's a bum, boo, he went to another team, boo!
Having fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun, I'll tell you. That really enhances the viewing.
Oh, my God. All right.
You can't just watch the game and enjoy it. You have to boo.
Right.
That makes you a fan.
You don't have to boo. You boo at the appropriate time.
This is one of the better arguments we've had on the show.
This is an ongoing thing, Tom, because I am not a real fan because I like the game. It's kind of like your whole thing. Like, you like talent. I like the game.
You might be.
And Paul can't watch a game standing up. He can't watch a game by clapping. That distracts him from the game.
I'm not a big fan of jumping around, getting obnoxiously drunk, and missing half
Paul,
the game.
I'm
not a big fan of those
Paul,
things.
Get drunk.
You may
get drunk.
That's what they do.
But now you're saying
some
a small
some of them
portion.
Do.
The people that miss the game because they're jumping around like lunatics are generally
Paul,
inebriated.
You may be a fan of the game, but you are certainly not a fan of any team. All right, Rob.
Not a fan of any team?
Yeah, or else you'd get up and clap and cheer.
I'm a fan of the Boston teams, I could tell
you
that.
You're not a fan of any pro teams.
Well, that's incorrect. Because I'm a huge Boston fan, and even the Bruins, as badly as they've been managed.
Is that why you like college sports? Because, you know, you get a whole set of bleachers to yourself. You sit down there. You can watch the game. Nobody cheers.
Everybody cheers.
You wouldn't like college sports if you went to, like, Michigan or Ohio. That's why he goes to Northeastern. The pros.
Today's attendance of 371.
Why are you? Why, you don't even know what you're laughing at. What are you laughing at?
It's making fun of you. All right, Rob.
Who's my point? Doesn't even know what he's laughing at. He's making fun of you.
You're making my point.
Rob from Arlington, Virginia. We're going to start getting the emails.
Why don't you guys start talking about the draft? We didn't just draft people, you know.
And we are talking baseball. That's the one that really sets people off. You talk Red Sox.
I'm talking fans. I'm not talking baseball.
All right. True or false, guys? Ready?
Yep.
True or false? Tully Bannacane will be the starting outside
false.
Linebacker on September 10th, replacing McGinnis.
False. For the Browns?
Chad false. Jackson.
Tom said false after he said Tully Bannacane. False.
Yeah, what if he had said Tully Bannacane will be cut?
Chad Jackson will be the starting wide receiver on September 10th, replacing Givens.
True.
False.
False.
I say it takes him 3 or 4 games before he moves into that role.
I think the only reason he doesn't start is like the Matt Light thing. Because Bill won't want him to be the starting wide receiver day one.
That light thing was only because
he might not start the first couple plays, and then they'll bring him in.
But Bill believes a rookie should shut the.
I was going to say the Matt Light thing wasn't because he wasn't going to be a rookie out there. It was because Matt Light went and told the media before the game, "Yeah, I'm starting."
But it's the whole and Chad Jackson. We can already tell is one of those elite kind of personalities where he's a star wide receiver in the making.
Right.
He has a lot of the little the diamond in the ear. I saw him at the side of the press conference with Mr. Kraft speaking, pulls out this fancy digital, one of those all-in-one phone video game.
Did you happen to see the item in the track today about the MySpace.com with both Maroney and Jackson?
This whole MySpace, I'm feeling old because
I don't know what it is either.
It's this place where people post their own personal profiles.
So but why are Chad Jackson
not how you
and
characterized
Lawrence
it the other day.
No, but it's getting
like
out of
low
hand
life
because
wannabe murderers.
People are actually like filming, you know, schoolyard brawls and posting it.
I saw that in the news yesterday.
Also posting things about other people, you know, who aren't them. Like someone would come up and put a Lawrence Maroney post saying, "I'm Lawrence Maroney and I like," and it's not him.
So
know?
Schoolhouse were brawls. So you're saying
I don't know about that.
It wasn't false.
It was
you
his actual MySpace page. And was there a problem with it or just?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill said get rid of it.
Something a little racy maybe, but
for him.
For Maroney, yes, not for Jackson. Jackson
in what way?
You know, like
hey big boy,
girls,
have fun Saturday night.
Well, girls sending, you know, provocative pictures of themselves.
So I need to go to this.
I guess.
Jackpot. In a true or false, in a youth movement, Larry Izzo will be cut from the Patriots prior to September 10th.
False.
I'm on the fence, but I'll say false.
The Patriots will win the AFC East.
True.
They won it already.
That's the easiest one we've ever been asked.
The Patriots did a fantastic job in the draft.
True.
At least one undrafted rookie free agent will make the 53-man roster this year.
True.
False,
really?
Just wanted to be different.
Okay. The Patriots will acquire the services of a veteran quarterback as their backup as opposed to Matt Castle.
False.
There will be a
veteran
quarterback.
There'll be a veteran in camp.
I don't know who will be who, like, in terms of
but
role.
There'll be one.
Yeah.
Corey Dillon will outrush Lawrence Maroney this year.
True. False. Great question. I'm going to go with true.
True dat.
Eric Alexander will be the starting outside
false.
Linebacker.
False.
Okay.
False.
All right. Okay.
No offense, Eric. I like him, but
he's not ready.
So that's a true or false sent in by
good
Rob.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good.
Good questions.
Like
I think the Dylan Maroney question is intriguing.
I just think Dylan's is not going to play. I think he's going to play about 10, 11 games, and I think they're going to be pretty even.
Let me ask you this. Let's say for argument's sake that they start off doing my whole 2010 theory, and Maroney is just far more productive.
You're talking about the Holmes-Larry Johnson. They tried last year, and Larry Johnson was ripping off 40 to Holmes' 15.
Yeah. See, now, I don't think that Dick Vermeil ever really made the switch.
No, he didn't.
Hey, I think Bill Belichick will make the switch.
Right. People wanted him to make the switch, and he never did.
Yeah. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about, the Holmes-Larry Johnson thing. You know, Holmes wasn't bad.
Right, he wasn't
bad. But Johnson was clearly better.
Doug from Blackstone, guys, I don't think we were still on when the Mincy pick was made. I saw some film in him, and I like what I've seen. I know that certain players will fall in the draft because they are better suited for a certain system, and I hope this is the case for Mincy. He looks athletic and aggressive. He strikes me as someone that if he approached you with bad intentions, you best have your affairs in order. Was he a guy that was better suited to the 3-4 and got overlooked by 4-3 teams?
Again, I think I heard a lot of attitude. Like when he feels like playing, he plays like what that guy said, like with a mean streak. But it's the consistency that you're looking for out of Mincy. And that's something that the Patriots obviously can mold. And if they can get him to be a consistent player, they're going to have they could have a steal on their hands.
Yeah, I talked about it at the beginning of the show. I do think that last point that the emailer brought up is true. I think that he had more value to a team like the Patriots. 4-3, he doesn't fit because he's not big enough to play defensive line at 259 pounds or you know somewhere in that area. He's going to need to learn a new position. Now, if he can do that, you know, some guys have had success making that that transition. Guys like Colvin and Vrabel and the list goes on and on. Bantakane to a much lesser extent. If he can make that transition, then I think he has a future in New England. If he can't, then he'll be one of those many guys that tried. There's a lot of, what's the guy, Andre Torre, Andy, a couple years ago, last year maybe?
Out of Arizona?
He didn't, he looked like he had some promise, but there was no room for him ultimately. Maybe Mincy ends up being one of those kinds of guys.
Yeah.
Beth Ann writes in. She says, I take a lot of guff for being a Pats fan, but I love it. You've got something in common with me, Beth Ann. I do, too.
Fred takes a lot of guff for being a Pats fan.
I do.
It's very embarrassing. It's embarrassing to root for the team that's won three of the last five Super Bowls.
You guys give me guff.
It's amazing how you can even hold your head up in a lunch line.
I'm
got to hide that Patriots shirt under another one and just kind of show peak of it.
I know sometimes you want your Elway shirt over the top. But
I'm from Muncie, Indiana, and I have been a Pats fan for 15 years, and you guys are the best. So when you come to Indy, you know where that there is at least one fan always on your side. I live with a Colts fan. So she loves it, and she can't wait for the
football. And I should mention one thing about we had some emails about the Colts getting Maroney and the Patriots trying to take him before they did or something like that. But there was an interesting article coming out of Dallas that if Maroney was there at 29, they were going to trade Julius Jones and some other picks or whatever to the Jets for the 29th pick, and they were actually going to draft Maroney at 29 after they got Carpenter. So that's kind of an interesting little thing there that Belichick stole a player not from the Colts but from his from Bill Parcells.
Yeah, but maybe Parcells stole a player Belichick
wanted. Yeah, exactly.
Carpenter.
So
and somebody stole Ty Hill. A lot of stealing going on.
Scott from Washington D.C. Good job at the draft. Your pre-draft information was very useful. You guys, mainly Tom, were right about guys like Bing and Haas. Although others like Parham and Hoyt went undrafted. Good stuff though. Hey, that's what's crapshoot. Here's my wild out-of-the-left-field long-shot prediction for the start of the season. The Patriots will carry two kickers. Here's the idea. It is highly likely that Guskowski, can Fred pronounce his name yet, would last long on the practice squad. Besides, who would want to cut a fourth-round pick unless he outright stinks? But at the same time, you don't want to rush his development. If Gramatica shows anything at all, then his veteran presence will be useful, and he can give cover to Guskowski while the kid develops. The second kicker would be just one of the inactives on game day anyway. Like I said, this is an extreme long shot and highly unlikely since it would take a roster spot away from another developmental or key depth player, but just a thought. I am a big fan of the Mincy pick. Kudos to Mike Reese for noting that the Patriots visited with him. Otherwise, I never heard of him before the draft, but I love his run-stuffing potential, and I'm intrigued to see what he can do. One quick question, where is Shane these days? I know he left PFW a while back. Just curious what he's up to.
The other guy's name is escaping me. Jesus.
Jeez.
Shane, we won't see him no more.
Shane is working in Rhode Island. Where is it? The South Kingston Independent, one of those weekly newspapers down in Rhode Island. Doing very well.
Could be. Yeah. As far as the Guskowski thing, I actually had similar thoughts of maybe, a slow development, which is where I posed a potential groin injury that would land him on IR, say, August 25th or August 27th. That happens. You do a lot of kicking. He does more kicking than he's used to in the past, and he something tweaks, and you know, you.
I'm not sure that the IR makes sense for him, though, and I understand what your point is, and I think you know, obviously there's a lot of merit to your point, but
obviously,
if Gramatica doesn't work out, then you no longer have this guy as an option if you put
him
on the IR.
Well, no, if Gramatica stinks, then he's
no. What I'm
kicker.
Saying is, let's say you can't just put a guy
on
PUP. He has to start camp on PUP,
well,
and then he wouldn't be able to kick all camp.
Oh, really?
As soon as he comes on the field.
As soon as he comes on the field, you're off PUP.
For the most part.
But,
except when he wears a different player's jersey.
Under Scott's scenario there where he says that Gramatica, you know, kicks well enough in camp to win the job, you know, well, that's camp.
It's
now,
camp.
Four weeks into the season, you know, he's 3-for-8 on field goals and has missed an extra point. You don't have Gostkowski as a fallback now.
Mm-hmm. Paul's hitting on something I think is very important. The one nightmare scenario for the Patriots that I see is that they have to have a revolving door at kicker mm-hmm. this year. They need someone to go into camp, take that job by the horns, and just go with it and hope it works out.
Well, they actually, I think, need Gostkowski
to
go into camp and win the job and just say,
and end
oh,
up
he's
being
good.
Okay. Right. You know,
if it's Gramatica, that's where I think you get in this trouble, because do you waste two roster spots, or do you risk not having Gramatica make it through the year?
Yeah.
Then you can't
I think the practice squad is more of an option than most other people think, because I think there are ways that you can entice your players to stay on your practice squad and not sign. They don't have to sign with someone else. If someone claims them, they don't have to go.
First of all, you can pay them. Brandon Gorn was paid.
You can pay him to do that, and then that way he's not, you know, he's not going to be enticed to leave as quickly. And also, if he's on your practice squad, and then the guy says, "Well, I have an offer from you know so and so," now maybe you can make a decision on to whether you want to have a second kicker on your roster. I agree with Scott. I don't really see that as a scenario.
And you could easily sell him on practice squad because you say, you're clearly the kicker of the future. We just don't know that you're ready right now. We don't want to set you back. And we pay you $285,000 or whatever a rookie minimum contract makes.
Right.
And
whatever he would have made, you make on the practice.
You're going to make no more than that when you sign with Green Bay in Week 10.
And
stay here next year, you're a superstar kicker.
And that way, Belichick gets to have this kid kick for an entire year.
Right.
And, you know, and experience the elements in New England. You know, go through the winter here. You know, go through the late fall into the winter, kicking in bad weather here in New England. But not under that glare of, you know, that pressure of the postseason and the late, you know, the December games into the postseason. If he proves, you know, that he might be showing signs that he's not ready. Now, ideally, I think you guys are right. In a perfect world, he's the guy who grabs the bull by the horns. And Fred, again, will let us know with his kicking chronicles during
training.
Well, it'd
be interesting, you know, if you can ever ask Belichick this. He was here.
No.
Well,
you can ask him. You just won't answer.
I'm not sure, but I believe he was here when they made the switch from Matt Barr to Adam Vinatieri.
He was here.
Mm-hmm. You know, what was it that they saw in Vinatieri? You know, because they love Matt Barr. Matt Barr was great. You know, Parcells loved him.
Yeah.
You know, he was a favorite of Parcells, really liked the guy. So it must have been tough to make that switch. So what was it that they saw in Vinatieri that said, we're comfortable now doing this?
Yeah, it would be nice, but I think we know the answer to that question. Adam isn't here anymore.
You'd have to ask Matt.
I was going to say you'd have to ask Bill, but he put it he would go more irrelevant. You'd have to ask Matt.
No, but
Matt, what got you cut?
No, but here's the thing. It's not so much what, you know, talking about Vinatieri. It's, okay, here's a situation that you were on a team that went from an established veteran that everyone felt confident in to an unknown guy. What was it that you saw in him that allowed you to do that? And are you going to be looking for those same things with this guy?
And a similar situation in this too, Fred, in that team was about ready to win. I mean, they had made the playoffs in 1994. They had the step back in 95 when my boy got hurt, and they lost a few games early, and it snowballed on them. And then in 96, most people knew that that was going to be a playoff caliber team. They needed to have a reliable kicker, and Parcells still thought that Vinatieri, you know, was good enough, and, you know, ultimately it worked out.
One more interesting thing about your little Gostkowski theory of having him for a year but not necessarily under the
pressure. Well, I'm saying if he shows he's not ready to win
the
job.
Well, I think you assume automatically.
I think he's going to be the kicker.
But at some point, you got to put him under the pressure.
My point is that he's going to be
the kicker. I assume automatically that he's not going to be quite ready because he's a rookie kicker. So at some point, there are going to be a little hurdles to get past, whatever. But in terms of just the pressure, it reminds me of, and I'd never heard of this before, and Fred, you might have because you're a pretty diverse guy, but Maddie in the Morning on local radio was discussing the Howard Stern, David Lee Roth switch. And apparently there's this term, and I can't remember the term, but in the radio industry, where you cleanse the audience, where you when you have a really popular show that leaves, you bring in a guy that you know is going to fail, and you just pay him for 3 months, 6 months, a year to cleanse the audience, then you bring in the person you think is going to be your long-term replacement. It would be the same thing with Gramatica.
I heard that.
Bring him in. Fans can boo him, except Paul won't. Boo him when he misses kicks. Oh, he's not Adam. We want Adam. Boo him.
Happens
if you start off the season 0-3.
Boskowski,
when he comes in the following year, is so much better than Gramatica.
He's compared to Gramatica rather than Vinatieri.
The problem with your theory is, what if you start the year off 0-3 and two of his kicks cost you games?
Gramatica?
Yeah.
Well, then you still bring up Goskowski, and he's compared to Gramatica, not Vinatieri. He's compared to the guy that stinks, not the guy that won three Super Bowls.
By the way, I never said that you shouldn't boo, period. I just don't
he's
think
still
you
on
I don't think you
so
boo
sensitive.
People for no reason.
Well, there was a reason.
There's a reason.
If there's bad performance, that's different. That's a reason.
Damon went 0-4. Bad performance. He deserves to be booed.
Whatever.
Let's see.
He's got a chicken arm.
Mike writes in, great coverage of the draft. It was both entertaining and informative. It's laughable to see and hear people who get mad at you guys for not getting the picks exactly right. I had some thoughts on the draft and wanted your take on them. First off, with the majority of teams focusing on defense in the draft this year, do you feel that Belichick and Pioli saw this as an opportunity to grab some players that normally would not have been there for them to take?
No.
Also, at first, I was questioning the thought process of why the team was using all their picks that they had. I never would have guessed they would have drafted 10 players, but after I thought about it, I came up with one conclusion. Next year, the Patriots are going to receive quite a few compensatory picks for the players they lost. These picks will not be able to be traded, so they will be forced to use them. Next year's draft is not supposed to be as strong as this year, so maybe having additional picks next year wouldn't give you as much as some of the later prospects this year. Good job again, and thanks for the coverage. Owen Tom, try and get some of those picks exactly right next year. I mean, come on. You work for the Patriots.
I didn't
get
one.
You know what they're doing, right?
I didn't. I was 0-11. But the thing is, I think his point is the exact opposite. I think because it was a defensive draft, that maybe the players that they wanted weren't there. So instead of reaching for, maybe they didn't like Manny Lawson. Maybe they loved Carpenter and Wimbley. And when they weren't there, they said, well, let's, Ty Hill's not there. Let's change our focus.
Right.
And then obviously the second round, they liked Chad Jackson. And to get up there and get him, that's just value at that point.
And Bill basically said that. He said, we all saw how fast those defensive players came off the board in a run there.
Yes, he did.
So it's not a decision you go into the draft with, this is a defense that we can steal. It's a decision you made as picks 17, 18, 19 came off the board, and you said, wow, we're going to have the choice of the running backs, the choice of the wide receivers. We can get who we want.
Yep.
Just happens to be on offense.
I think Dallas made their pick for him. When Carpenter was off the board, I think that was a guy they were really looking at closely. And when he was off the board and Ty Hill was off the board, two guys we thought
those
they liked.
Two. I think those two were the guys
they
wanted.
Switched gears after that.
Scott from Washington, I understand that Dave Thomas can also long snap. What do you think about his chances for displacing Paxton?
Zero.
Paxton seems to
Garrett
be one
Mills
of the best
too.
In the business, but Vinatieri's gone.
So
it
also
will be
part
a whole
the Red
new
Sea.
Kicker to get timing down with anyway. Plus, having Thomas as a long snapper would save a roster spot. It would be our first tight end long snapper since Mike Bartram, I think.
Yeah, Paxton does the job. You don't change it for
Paxton.
And they pay him pretty well to do that job, don't they?
Yeah. And I also
Paxton is so unbelievably good at that.
I can't see.
I mean, the thing that he does where he lines up 20 yards out and hits the goalpost every time, it's amazing.
I also don't think that it has much to do with the timing on field goals. I think that when Adam used to talk about, the snap and the hole, it was that they knew it was going to be an accurate snap all day. I don't think it's necessarily some other guy with an accurate snap is going to be different timing. So now that you have a new kicker,
But in a perfect world, does Scott make a good point where it would be better to have a long snapper who also plays a position?
I think in a perfect world, but
I think if you had a guy that long snapped as well as Lonnie Paxton play a different position, sure.
Right.
But you also get in depth. What if Paxton gets injured? Now you don't have to go out and
have a backup.
Remember what happened with the Giants when when they lost the 49ers that year, when they had a search for long snappers at the end of the year.
Now I rolled it on the ground.
Yeah. Right. Now, we know that Paxton did get hurt one year in 2003, tore his ACL, and had to miss the rest of the year. But I think you can go into most seasons pretty much knowing that Paxton's probably not going to get hurt. That's all he does is long snap. Right, they don't take a lot of pounding. They do run down the field and cover on punts and whatnot, but chances of him getting injured are probably pretty small. Well, if David Thomas is one of your three tight ends and gets regular playing time, you have a chance. So maybe in an ideal world, it's not necessarily a backup player who plays.
Guy. Right, right. Dave from Wilmington, North Carolina, the USA Today Sports Weekly, just out this morning, honors the Patriots draft with an A grade. They and many others list Garrett Mills as the one who'll surprise the most.
I agree.
And the Herald also had a good article on Mills this morning.
What about Tom?
Tom Casale on Patriots.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, my article has way more information than John Tomasi's. I'm just going to say it like it is.
Yeah, that's all right. You stick up.
You put an article about Garrett Mills up on the web?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you didn't like that?
I'd like to have something fresh in the paper, but that's...
No, it's not the whole thing. Yeah. It's all switched around.
I know the paper is irrelevant to Fred now because he's Johnny Interactive Media now, you know. But maybe we'll do a podcast and put the whole draft post draft issue on that.
I don't
that.
Like it with all these websites. And when I was young, what we had was a paper.
I just think that you know people are paying for stuff that we're not giving them. But
I'm just gonna say I'm not. But
okay, Grandpa.
I don't think it has anything to do with Grandpa. It just has to do with fraud.
Larry writes in.
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
Hello, Larry.
The next email. Tom put story on Mills, he says. Did you talk to him and his coach? Did you change your mind about the pick?
I was just perplexed when they made the pick because I didn't really understand why they would take two tight ends. But after talking and finding out what kind of player he was, sounds like he's going to fit in fine here.
Tom changed his mind about a number of picks.
I told you, this is definitely going to be one of those deals that he's going to come in and be productive, and then we're going to be criticized for questioning the player.
When we
no one's questioning the player. It happens to be he's probably in a very small handful of guys in that league, in that particular conference, that I could remember actually having seen play. I know he could play. I remembered him from that. That's how good he was, that I probably saw one game that the guy played, and he stood out to me. It's not a question of the player. It's a question of the need of a guy who does that after you took somebody, and I still think David Thomas is a similar kind of player. I don't think David Thomas is going to make his living as an inline blocker.
Right. Fred, I have an idea. Video presentation for Patriots Today or Patriots Video News, and Tom might remember this. Mr. Perfect, back in the days of the WWF when they didn't really wrestle a lot.
Let's turn it over.
Everything
Patriots football
pre-packaged.
Andy
Mr. Clark. Perfect used to do this thing where he would, like, go into a thing and show that he could do everything, so he'd snap the ball, the camera angle would change, and he'd catch the ball, and he'd kick the ball. I was thinking we do something like that with Garrett Mills, where he throws the ball, then catches the ball, then tackles, and does it all at once with different camera angles.
Maybe eventually.
I think it'd be funny.
Have to wait a little while. I don't think the coach would let him do that yet.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd get it done before the coach would have a say.
So in other words...
before the rules were in place.
So in other words, you want to build him up so that Paul will hate him.
No, I just want to build him up because I think it would be
Paul's
fun.
Not going to hate him.
It's a gimmick.
Well,
you spit your gum out, you hit a home run with it.
If he builds him up to be a cult legend, if we start building up his, reputation to be this cult legend, you'll end up hating him.
But that could happen.
He's
going to
be.
Everyone,
he's going to be.
But I hate. But I more hate the reputation
he's be a cult
than the
legend.
Person.
Oh yeah, he'll be big on KFFL, Ask PFW. All
Dan Klecko is a perfect example, Fred.
I know.
I don't dislike Dan Klecko. Matter of fact, he's one of the guys I enjoy talking to the most in the locker room.
But you actually like him more now that everybody else has stopped talking about
him. I hate the presence. I hate this aura around him, Dan
Klecko.
You like him now, but he's been knocked back down.
Right.
No, I liked him when I first...
He's on a pedestal now.
I liked him when I first got to talk to him, and I realized what a good guy he is.
He's a very nice kid.
That's why I liked him.
Good kid. Good kid.
You should talk Sopranos with him back in the day.
Gary from Syracuse.
Who's he going to talk to with his boy gone?
I don't know.
Poirier gone. He's got nobody.
Maybe he can go to Washington.
Fred, that sounds like your office on an overnight when you start playing your reggae.
Gary from...
Your reggae?
Every place. Why, is that not how you say it?
It's just as funny, though. He's at the reggae.
Gary from Syracuse.
Gary.
You guys do a great job. I like your honesty on the players, and I get tired of listening to the ESPN crowd and their love fest over every draft pick. I have two questions for you.
What?
First, you think that Belichick wants offense because he knew everyone had their focus on defense, and he knew we could get better value going offense. Second, is there any free agents left other than Ty Law that could help the Pats? P.S., my work won't let me stream, so I download the podcast, but some of the stuff on the website doesn't give you that option. Is there any way you can make everything on the site a podcast? No.
Did you see?
That would be a lot. It has to do with storage fees and all that, Gary. We do what we can, though.
ESPN is now doing the audio of some of their TV shows as a podcast. I was thinking, can we do that with our TV show?
Like the PTI and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Can we do that?
With the TV show?
Yeah. It's only a half-hour show. It's down to 22
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, but that's the kind of show you got to see.
See, I don't really think
I'm only kidding. It's probably better not to see.
Right. I think that would
not
be
too many
good.
People do.
Oh.
Hey, hey. Yeah, he says value.
I don't even know if we're going to have a show.
I know.
How come you just broke into WC Fields to say that? I don't even know if we're going to have a show.
The value?
WC Fields, I don't even know if we're going to have a show. That would be WC Fields.
Yeah, that's kind of what you said. Like,
should I say it?
What?
Who's WC Fields?
You don't know who
you don't
WC,
know who WC Fields,
Fields
is?
Oh, man.
Sounds like a manager in WWE.
All right, what do you got?
No, I was just going to say, I think value is the right word, because it's the right word for everything they do, but it's value when you're on the clock, not value that you decided 4 days earlier when you
right.
thought
right.
you were going into the draft.
Right.
It's value at that time when there was a run on defensive players.
Exactly. Yeah, and the same thing can be said of, you know, Carolina for taking D'Angelo Williams. I bet you John Fox didn't think that he had much of a chance of getting D'Angelo Williams at 27.
Right. He got a good player.
You know, so it I think it would be a stretch to say, well, he did a nice job of recognizing everybody else was going to take defense. No, he did a good job of recognizing the board as it came off.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing that Bill talks about all the time in the pre-draft press conference. Everybody makes fun of him. You never know how the board's going to come off. You place your board, you can rate your own, but you never know exactly how it's going to go.
Fraud Perillo over there aligning himself with Bill because it fits his point.
Although it's actually the opposite.
On draft day, Bill said, well, pretty much unfolded the way we thought it would.
If you really listen to what
I
said.
You told me the day before that. You don't know how it's going to fall.
I actually am taking credit away.
Bill, you had Bush going too?
Paul's really frustrated.
Maybe I should start booing. Maybe I'll feel better about being a fan.
Try it. Go ahead.
It might help you.
Maybe you need to vent a little.
Yeah.
You know, I'm supposed to be this, like, unemotional guy. Did you ever see a referee make a call that I agreed with?
I know the extra fiber hasn't helped. Maybe the booing will.
I don't even know what that means.
He's not that old.
Let's see. Sean.
Tricell or whatever. Fiber all.
Sean says, I think the thing that I was really disappointed is we did not give a 6-round pick to Washington for Chris Cooley. I want to be the new Richard Bernard and have the 8 tight end set. In all seriousness, if you listen, no reaction. See, Gary's got to hit the laugh button, Gary. Come on.
Do we have a laugh?
In all seriousness.
Your button hooked me.
If you listen.
What's that?
I don't know. In all seriousness, if you listen to the last 3 years of PFW in progress, we could probably play the same thing next year. Quote, we are going to need youth and depth at linebacker. End quote. I know we signed some undrafted free agents at linebacker, but what is the chance they make the team? Free agency is not really great, and I don't want to hear about Donnie Edwards, a.k.a. Chad Brown. Two.
Oh, oh no.
Ooh.
Well, oh, no.
Paul likes Donnie Edwards.
Donnie Edwards, I mean, at this stage of his career, Donnie Edwards is a much better player than Chad yeah. Brown was going into last year.
Two, other quick topics. I think it's safe to say this is a make-or-break training camp for Bethel Johnson. Is there any hope for this loss? Has he been working out in the offseason? As a matter
yes,
of fact,
he was here. He was here on Monday.
Saw him yesterday. And I really don't want to Monday, right? Yeah. I really don't want to sound like Richard Bernard, but are you guys satisfied today with going into week one with the wide receiver situation?
Yep.
Yeah, I am.
The other thing is this could be a sad day coming up tomorrow. The one pass and one drop kick wonder from Natick may hang it up and finally become a ball boy for the Red Sox and catch fly balls from little kids. Boy, I guess Lenny Mangola will have to retire from the Herald. What will he write about? So what is your thoughts on the veteran QB yet to be named as a backup to Brady? Thanks, guys.
Lenny Mangolia.
Hello, Larry. Good show starring McLean Stevenson from me.
See, you know, I just didn't get the point. What's going to be sad about tomorrow?
That the one kick wonder will be hanging
it up. Some sarcasm.
And I'll ask again, what's going to be sad about tomorrow?
Well, there was some sarcasm there because the emailer doesn't really much like the one pass, one kick wonder either.
No, he's on Paul's list.
He's on my list.
Jeff Fry and
he's on my list.
A lot of people agree with my list, Fred.
Rob
Kevin Youkilis.
Guskowski is terrible. 50-50 from what? From 29 to 39 yards, and with the football weighing more in the winter, chilly Foxborough. What makes Bill think he is the next heir apparent?
That's not true. Those numbers aren't true. He's not a 50% kicker on any of his.
He said he's 50-50 from 29 to 39 yards.
Yeah, that's not true.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you.
Paul's doing that bio, and he was doing the stats the other day for the breakdown. In fact, he was complaining that the SID office from Memphis got him wrong.
He has missed I think he's 28 for 30 or 26 for 28 from 20 to 39, something like that.
And that guy's saying he's 50-50?
Yeah, he's not 50-50 on any breakdown. I mean, he's not 50-50.
He wouldn't be drafted in the fourth round.
I believe he's 4 for 6 career 50-plus.
Yeah.
He's not 50% on any of the breakdowns. And I did it all from, 20 to 40. I did 20 to 29, I guess. What is it, 19 to 29? I did 19 to 39 instead. And then I did 39 to 49, 49,
Yeah.
And up.
So the only time he sucked was in high school.
He had the senior year. He, for whatever reason, he had trouble kicking the ball and he lost his job. Senior year of high school, it cost him
adding those in.
It cost him a lot of scholarship offers.
1 for 10. Add that into 28 of 30.
He ended up going to Memphis on a baseball scholarship with the promise of being able to try out for the team, the football team, and if he made it, he would earn a football scholarship, which ultimately that's what he did.
JJ in Palm Desert, California. He likes the draft. I give the example of Ben Watson 2 years ago. We really didn't need a tight end in the first round, but obviously his talent was irresistible to Belichick and Pioli, and we are all the happier for it. If you look at it, we acquired some of the best prospects at five different positions: running back, wide receiver, fullback, tight end, kicker, offensive lineman. Who knows when injuries will befall any existing starter that will thus necessitate us to use any of these players. These are all players, I am told, that have potential starter abilities. I would also like to look at the team that spoiled our chances at Bobby Carpenter, Bill Parcells' Cowboys. I can't help but think of a little conspiracy theory here. Regardless, we will be writing Parcells thank you letters in the next few years when we all realize that no other running back looks as good as Maroney in the next three drafts. Thanks for your time.
Conspiracy of what? You guys had Bill Parcells here. Does he care anything more than winning? You think he took Carpenter because he said, I want to stick it to Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Or you thought he was the best player for your
football
team?
It's just like
the
people that said they took Maroney because they wanted to keep him away from the Colts.
And as I just said, there was a report out of Dallas that Parcells actually wanted Maroney at 29 as a possible trade. So if he took Maroney at 18, would he have been sticking it to the Pats?
As much as we've been praising the draft, and I think we all agree that we feel that they did very well, but the goal isn't to get the best player at all these different positions. Well, there's like three fullbacks that get drafted. So, I mean, is your goal to pick one of them every year?
Right.
There's two kickers that got drafted. I mean, you can pick all the different positions to, and that way you have a chance to get the best player. And I didn't see any listing that had Ryan O'Callaghan as one of the best tackles in the draft.
Well, if you go right tackle. If you break it down to right tackle.
So is all the other ones left tackles?
Well, all the good tackles are left tackles.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, I just don't really, I'm not willing to.
It works for the top two picks.
Does he have a good post?
Yeah, you've got the second best running back
or
the third best running back, depending on who you looked at.
The best.
And you've got the first or second best wide receiver, depending on who you looked at.
Does O'Callaghan have a good post foot?
And what?
You know what that, a post foot for a tackle? You don't know that? It's when they used to swivel. I learned that on TV from Mark Schlereth.
Why is he playing on one foot?
It's a post foot. It's your post foot. You got to have a good post foot, good anchor.
Is it post or posed?
Post.
Clogs or claws?
Dwayne writes that I love the Pats draft this year. Contrary to popular opinion, I believe the Patriots offense killed their season last year, not their defense, and they addressed their offensive woes by injecting some youth in the offense. Defensively, the Pats found stability late in the year, while the offense didn't. The running game was so inconsistent last year, I feel it gave them no chance on road games, as shown in their playoff exit. They don't have any shutdown corners on their team, but who does? I'm excited because with the amount of young players they have on both sides of the ball, I can see 2 to 3 rising to be the premier players in the league. I think that the defense will be fine next year because most of the starters have returned. McGinnis won't be returning, but he's 34 years old and is one serious injury away from the end of his productive career as a linebacker.
Aren't we all?
I am not bashing him as he has left. I would be saying the same thing if he was returning in a Pats uniform. Vrabel and Colvin can maintain the outside with Bantakane and or another player backing them up. If the top players the Pats pick pan out, I believe the Patriots will be a very formidable team with a dynamic offense come December, barring any unforeseen major injuries, of course. One last note. 5 defensive linemen in the last 15 years went first overall, 1 Pro Bowl combined among them. I can't say enough bad things about the Texans' pick.
Yeah, I would disagree a little bit about the whole offense-defense thing last year. I think that the
the
offense
side of Bush is phenomenal.
The offense ultimately knocked him out of the playoffs. There's no question about that. The offense's failure in Denver knocked him out of the playoffs. But without the offense carrying the team for large stretches of the regular season, they don't make the playoffs. Because they had that 7-week stretch where they allowed 400-plus yards of total offense.
I think it's fair to say.
And they came out of that like 4-3 because the offense outscored the opposition.
I think it's fair to say, though, that the running game
ultimately doomed them down the stretch. But I'm talking 13 out of the 16 regular season games.
Which is why Tom Brady should have been the league MVP.
Well, and I think he makes a good point on
the
road.
But what did he carry them to is my point. I mean, they didn't do anything.
They wouldn't have made the playoffs without him.
Well, and a lot of other teams wouldn't have won 14 or 15 games without their quarterback.
Their offense wasn't that good last year.
No.
It wasn't. But
it just was better than the defense, that's all.
But I think he made a good point on the road, because every game we went to on the road, they were forced to throw early because they couldn't run at all. And it just they never seemed in sync, like in Kansas City.
They couldn't run the ball last year. I mean, we can all be in agreement on that. They ran the ball effectively one game.
Yeah. Stan the man. What a great draft for the team. As far as the Thomas and Mills pick, I see it as more Thomas as a replacement for Fourier, Mills closer to pass. He was rated the best fullback by many, so he may be more fullback than a tight end. If pass is really 20 pounds overweight, he will be the replacement. What do we hear that?
I didn't see that, but I don't doubt it was out there. There's a lot of stuff that gets written right now that maybe someone had that nugget.
I can't see him 20 pounds overweight, though. He's done his best to bulk up.
Stan, tell us where you heard that. Like all the picks, O'Callaghan, Stevenson, and undrafted free agent Hand and Barthelms, it seems like they are looking for big guys to protect Brady. I know many are talking about linebackers. Muncy, I think he meant Muncy, and the undrafted free agents Freddie Roach and Pierre Woods will make it a good mix. Plus, Claridge, the Kevin Smith, a good backup nose tackle. Smaller cornerbacks, Andrews, who will be a return guy, and free agents Varnell Roberts and Gamera Williams, Smurfs with heart, should be really interesting. Really a great draft and free agents for the team. Great show as always. And was Green Bay raped by the Jackson pick?
Of course they were. We all know that.
I think it's interesting how many you mentioned at least one guy on that free agent list, Danny, with return, you know, returner.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that's been a fairly significant
target.
Target. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no question about
return.
That.
Return guys.
What did I say? It's from Florida, Vernell Brown.
Yeah. Tim Dwight's gone. You know, if they pass sunk. Goes,
and they were all terrible.
Their kick returner is going to be Lawrence Maroney. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. Yeah.
Wayne Brady in Denver.
That's Maroney off the list.
Wayne in Denver. Really surprised.
He did it in college.
I know he did.
Wayne was really surprised at the first two picks. Also very excited. I truly believe that Dylan has plenty left. Borges reports Dylan working harder than ever after
so
day one of the draft. That, to me, is great news that there will be a lot of competition at the ball carrier position. I must admit, I was waiting, hoping for the linebackers and cornerbacks to come out in the third and fourth rounds. From everything I've read through the end of the draft, it appears that Belichick was truly targeting Chad Jackson as the first pick. The story of the test that Belichick gave Jackson in their visits before the draft, the amount of time Belichick spent in Florida this offseason, the number of players chosen from the University of Florida, both during and after the draft, it appears that Urban Meyer may be the new Saban for Pioli and Belichick. They were probably very surprised that Maroney was still there at 21 and jumped on that opportunity. The great move was the negotiating to still get Jackson with the 36th pick. I would love to know from Belichick if Maroney was gone at 17 or 18, might the Patriots move up to 1 or 2 to get Jackson in round 1? Or better yet, who would the Pats have taken if both Maroney and Jackson were gone by 21? Anyways, and as usual, it was totally different than what I expected, but gives me a renewed excitement for the new season ahead. Fred, Urban doesn't have a brother named Rural. However, he does have an uncle named Oscar.
Oh, yeah, Oscar Meyer. I see what you did there.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Fred began the whole line of Urban Meyer jokes.
There we go.
There we go.
What kind of a name is Urban?
I don't know.
Any thoughts?
I forgot I was going to say something, but it was so long I lost my train of thought.
Okay, Henry from San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, how about you, Henry?
Thanks for the great coverage. It was really cool. Thanks again. I just wanted to know, will Chad Jackson be the number two receiver? Also,
yep.
Coach Belichick said at his press conference that they had more work to do in free agency. Do you think that there will be more signings or less signings soon?
Those are the ones that Andy actually had talked about.
I think
about.
He's talking about veteran free agents.
That Belichick?
Yeah.
He was talking about the draft.
Yeah,
Belichick was talking about undrafted free agents. I'm not saying they're not going to sign any more veteran free agents, but Belichick was specifically talking about that list of players right there.
Greg.
Oh, no?
Greg says, one, just got back.
Ooh.
Hey, see, doesn't that make you feel better?
Why are you booing Greg?
No, I'm booing Fred.
Did that make you feel better?
I'm booing Fred for not admitting that he's wrong.
I just got home from school, so I don't know if this has been asked or not, but seeing how the Patriots didn't draft a single quarterback, have you heard anything of Ty Law being brought back? I believe we have the cap room.
Yep.
Well, supposedly he was talking to the Titans tomorrow.
The Titans.
Didn't he have a visit yesterday somewhere else?
Yep. Sometimes he makes visits, though, uninvited.
No, I thought there was another one.
He shows up.
He did. He did that in Kansas City, didn't he? He just showed up.
Two, I asked this around 2 years ago, but seeing how Tom is here now,
I'd like to
hear his input. If there was a movie called PFW in Progress, which actors would play you guys and why? So.
The guy from American Pie would play me because he's got a big nose and probably was
Jason Biggs?
Yeah, Jason Biggs.
Okay.
Either that or
Arnie Rubble would play Fred.
Either that or the kid from The Last American Virgin. He kind of looks like me.
Yeah, but now you got to say who would play Fred.
That Barney Rubble.
Actor. Fred's Barney Rubble.
I got to go with Barney Rubble.
I think Marcel Marceau would play Paul because he would never boo at a game.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't
know. A mime.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of the best known mimes ever.
They have that?
Yeah, I would have to give this some thought. This is a tough one.
Yeah. All right.
Best known mime.
I guess it's a skill like anything else.
You know, you have to be diversified in your
knowledge. I know who it is, and I don't know anything about anything.
There you go.
Yeah, but I don't know what he like looks like. I mean,
I don't either.
I know the name Marcel Marceau.
It has nothing to do with how he looks.
He's got a white face. He pretends he's in a box.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like the wind's blowing against him.
Okay.
Jay writes in, first off, let me say.
Now I get it.
Fred clearly has the Time Life Classics. Marcel, what's his name?
The box set?
Marceau, box set.
Let me say your weekend draft coverage was outstanding.
Is he running from a fire? That's more silent film.
It was loaded with information, entertainment, and intrigue, a.k.a. the Oliver Hoyt saga. Well, you know, it's good to have that running thing, so I'm glad that did happen.
Can I defend the boys for a second?
I don't think they need defending, but go ahead.
Well, I just say there's been a lot of emails about Oliver Hoyt. Andy and Tom suggested him as a possibility in the seventh round or at the earliest the sixth. And he didn't get drafted. It's not like they thought this guy was going to be, you know, a surefire first-day pick, and he got ignored.
Yeah, Mel freaking Kiper talked about Marcus.
However,
he didn't get drafted.
However, if he had been drafted by the Patriots and people started talking about him, Paul would hate him. Right?
Well, does he totally not understand the whole way that team
boy.
Works?
I find it hard to believe there's 255 better players than Oliver Hoyt. I really find that hard to believe.
There's got to be something.
Mike McMahon out of Maine and all
these. Telling, a team like the Raiders who need linebackers. They take a wide receiver from Maine.
Don't be seeing him out here no more.
I missed the first half hour of the show, so this may have been covered. Have the Pats announced the free agent signings? Yes.
Well, no.
Oh,
they haven't announced anything. So
I apologize for that. The Patriots have not announced anything.
Right.
Various sources
all through their local papers, but usually the Patriots announce their undrafted free agents at the start of camp, which is Thursday, Friday of this week. It is delayed a week this year, so the official list may be delayed a week.
but we have gathered it through.
We have sources through various sources that have been nice enough to help us out.
So, John,
compiled
if you want,
list.
When the show's over, you can listen to the archive. I don't want to make Andy go through that whole list again, but
especially with you people interrupting every 30 seconds.
You can get that whole list from Andy after the show. And a note for Tom, I noticed on the transactions that linebacker Brandon Hoyt was signed by the Colts. Was there a misprint on the transactions? Is this really Tom's boy Oliver?
No.
I could not find anyone named Brandon Hoyt on the draft tracker.
No, Brandon Hoyt played for Notre Dame, I believe, wasn't it? Notre Dame?
Chuck Weiss.
Oliver Hoyt, from everything that I believe, is with the Minnesota Vikings. There was a report that he agreed with the Vikings and signed with the Cowboys. But the Minnesota Vikings official website, and we know that the official websites never make a mistake, said that Oliver Hoyt is on the Vikings. So that's my guess. And I just said to Andy, wouldn't it be funny if he ended up being a better pro than Chad Greenway?
Could happen.
Teams are fighting for him all of a sudden, you know?
I mean, the guy's built like Benjamin Watson. I mean, you should. It's just I said it's like that Seinfeld episode where he's got the perfect girl and everybody hates her. It's so weird. There's got to be something.
All right.
What do you guys think of the report in Miami that Marcus Vick will be invited to a tryout? With Miami.
I mean, if they're gonna start Culpepper, are they? I mean, is he gonna be ready?
I don't think Culpepper will be ready.
Marcus Vick isn't gonna make it.
I mean, they could. Maybe they say, well, he's a good backup.
This doesn't really have anything to do with the status of their quarterback roster.
I want you to rip Nick Saban for allowing a convict into camp. Is that
I'm just wondering what the... I mean, that's the story here. It's not who's going to play Well, see, I know that's a guy that deserves to be booed. Okay. If he went to play in a game, I could understand why people would boo him.
Probably will be if he comes here, ever.
Jeff Moore said, we had a great draft, but I'm concerned about linebacker. I've heard people talk about Bruschi teaming with Beisel next season. I wanted to ask you guys if this is really possible. I thought our inside guys played strong and weak, with the strong guy being the run stopper like Ted Johnson or Mike Vrabel, and the weak side guy being a little bit more athletic like Bruschi or Beisel. So I can't see Beisel and Bruschi in the middle as they project to the same position. Perhaps Freddie Roach gets a look even though he went undrafted. What about the undrafted linebacker from Notre Dame? Also, Fred, it's illegal to use someone else's wireless connection. There was some news on that a few months ago when someone was arrested for stealing their neighbor's connection. Finally, Comcast has been blocking ports used by voice over IP companies such as Vonage. Not sure what kind of phone you were talking about, but those guys that come to install are not always the geniuses you might think.
I don't think they're geniuses, that's for sure.
No, I have my own wireless. But I can get my neighbors if I want it. And it's not against the law to tap into a wireless.
And I've tried them.
It's against the law to tap into someone's broadband and reroute it.
It should be against the law to tap into their wireless, too.
Then they should make it password protected.
I agree with that as well.
You know?
I don't know how to do it, but should.
Dwayne says, does anyone else think that Leonard Pope to the car? Go ahead.
Bruschi has played the Mike strong side linebacker position.
Yeah.
When he played next to Roman Pfeiffer, he was the quote-unquote stout inside linebacker.
Yes.
So he can play both. So if Beisel goes out there, Beisel would take that lesser role, the weak side type player, and Bruschi would play the strong side.
But is that what you really want Bruschi doing, being tied up by that big blocker on every play?
Not really, but
don't you want him running free a little bit?
There's a lot of things I don't want, but you got to put together a team and put 22 players out there and... You got to deal with your best options. Teddy Bruschi has shown that he can produce in a variety of roles. If that's what I have to do to win, that's what I have to do to win. Do you leave Vrabel inside and put Banta Kane out there because it makes it better on somebody? Well, Banta Kane might not be the player. So,
Richard Seymour is going to play outside linebacker, apparently.
Right.
Does anyone else
pay him enough? He should be able to.
Does anyone else think that Leonard Pope to the Cardinals was a sleeper pick? Matt Leinart is going to be surrounded by a lot of young talent by the time he comes around.
And that was a great pick by the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals had a good draft overall, getting Latui out of USC, getting Leinart. Denny Green, to a lesser extent, is kind of like Belichick, but I just think Denny Green gets lucky. I'm saying that, like, talent falls to him, and he takes the best. Well, I think in Denny Green's case, he just... Luck shines on him no matter where he goes.
You know, it's funny, though, if that was Belichick, people would say that he played the board like that, the way they've been saying so far today. He recognized where all the other guys would go, and, you know, it took Randy Moss at 18 or whatever he went.
Tom, I got a little Denny Green story you might appreciate. Someone in our sales stuff department went to a meeting, wherever Denny Green was.
I
believe it was last year in Arizona. And he came to the Tuesday meeting for some reason, just to be a face. You know, some Reebok got him to come, whatever. And he put his game plan for the following week on the board and was, like, using it to diagram stuff and as an example.
Belichick doesn't even give the players the game plan until
he's the anti-Bill Belichick. Everything Bill Belichick is, Denny Green is the opposite. He's the bizarro Belichick.
I tell you, his interview on draft day when he said, "I'm blessed, we're blessed, my kids are blessed, he fell to me, he can drive to L," was one of the funniest. We got a stadium, we got tickets, we got the... His rampage that he went on was one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Nathan, we talked about Ty Law and wants to know if he might be coming back. He
might be.
He also wants to know the status of Tyrone Poole.
He plays for the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland Raiders.
Along with Dwayne Starks. Good luck, Raiders.
And Darnell Bing.
Good luck, Raiders.
JJ wants to know, what's the chance of the Pats using Ben Watson as an occasional wide receiver?
Occasional meaning like in the red zone and for mismatches is probably pretty good.
Strong.
It's like we said at the beginning, I think they have a lot of different guys that can catch passes. That's the receiving core. I don't think necessarily you're dealing with... a wide receiver, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they have Brady, and he'll throw the ball to a bunch of guys that are capable of catching it. And some of them are tight ends, some of them, now with Garrett Mills, fullback, or H-back, and then you have your wide receivers as well.
He'll throw it to whoever's open.
But I'm saying, regardless of position, I don't think they necessarily have to have, Givens, Branch, Brown, Dwight. It's going to be maybe... Branch, Brown, and Caldwell with Jackson. And
we've always seen hints of that with different players and different roles over the years.
Right.
Heath Evans lined up wide at Patrick Pass.
God, he used to go five wide with Mark Edwards back in 2001.
So, I mean, they've always had a hint of that, and now if they have more versatile players, why wouldn't you do that?
Sure. Mensa from the Bronx says, don't you guys think the Patriots are waiting for one of these teams to cut some of the guys that they couldn't get in the draft?
That's Fred. Fred believes you look ahead and wait for all these players that are suddenly going to become available.
Cut one of the guys they couldn't get in the draft.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. A sixth round pick.
I don't think Bobby Carpenter's going anywhere.
I don't think too many quality draft picks are going to get cut this week, this summer.
But all pro linebackers who come on the cheap will be available June 1st, according to Fred.
Well, that's what he said. I have heard a lot of experienced players are going to be cut by June. What do you think? Have a good day, and let us hope for a very good football year. Let us hope that we do not sustain a lot of injuries to our skilled players. Boo Andy.
Hey.
I like this
good job, Pops Mensa Bonsu.
No, booing is inappropriate.
Boo Andy.
No, I think directed in the
Boo
right
Boo Andy. Remember Swig.
Who was that?
Mensa.
Mensa in Brooklyn.
Was that Mensa Andy or Hawks Nambla?
In the Bronx.
See, New Yorkers aren't going to put up with your type of crap.
I don't put up
there,
with
Andy.
Mensa. You're no Mensa.
Jarek
doesn't that mean you're really smart?
Yeah.
Jarek in Toronto says
Nambla.
He saw O'Callaghan once last season when California played USC at home, although, as you can imagine, they didn't pay much attention to him. They got trounced big time and managed to run the ball in USC for over 150 yards, even though they had no passing game to help the run. There was a lot of hype about Latui at the USC Pro Day, especially his bench press and speed, but the more... is look at our pick, the more I like him over Latui, and we got him in the fifth. Some projected O'Callaghan to go in the mid-third. Now, that's value.
That's his point of view. He did not – it's interesting. He made the all Pac-10 team 2 or 3 years in a row and made it over some of those USC guys or whatever, and then when the All-American teams came out, those guys made it, and he didn't even make, like, second or third team. It was a – topic, a bone of contention with him. He was very upset about it, and it caused him to kind of rant a little at the end of the year, and we'll see where those guys are on draft day, and it doesn't matter to me, blah, blah. Well, it didn't really work out on draft day either. But.
And one thing about the running in that game, I saw that game, and I should say that they were behind running the football when USC was playing the pass, and when you got a back like Marshawn Lynch at Cal, he's going to get good yards when you're playing the pass, so I wouldn't necessarily go by that stat.
Got to put it in context. Always have to put it in context. That's why this is such an interesting game, NFL football and college football.
That was totally taken out of context.
Rambling on.
Scott, true or false, Dan Klecker will not make the roster this year.
True.
And will become a New York Jet, making fans there thrilled to have the son of a former great Jet on their team.
True.
I'll go true all the way.
That's reasonable.
I like playing those games.
I could see that.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Thanks, Joe.
Let's see. Somebody says, I was not picking on you.
Thanks,
Joe. It was just a question. Paul, I was not talking to you. Tom wrote the piece. Go. I don't know. Larry says that.
What? Did it end with go bleep yourself?
I don't know.
Oh, what did I
boo
say?
Boo, Paul.
I don't know what I said.
I didn't understand that.
Dan says, Paul.
Can you read what maybe isn't written there? I mean, maybe something you didn't read? Read the whole thing. He clearly.
I can't read what's not written.
You clearly didn't read the whole
read
thing.
What's written. Oh, that was the whole thing. That was the whole thing. It was obviously
it took you a half hour to read. I was talking to Tom. Okay.
Dan in Fairfax, Virginia. Paul. I have to say you are flat out wrong on it being wrong to boo Damon or Vinatieri. You don't have to boo them if you don't want to, but part of being a professional athlete and getting millions of dollars to play professional sports in Boston, especially baseball, is that the fans love the local team and hate the enemy, especially the Yankees, but to a lesser degree the Colts. When a player leaves the local team to specifically go to the enemy for a little bit of extra money,
$12 million,
they know that the extra money is also buying alienation from the fans they used to love them. If they can't handle that, they shouldn't go to the other enemy team. I think Damon and Vinatieri can handle it, and deep down, I don't hate either of them, but as long as they are on the Yankees and the Colts, I wish them all the worst and hope they do poorly. If they go to another team, I would cheer for them again. I have not forgotten what they did for our teams, but I ignore it while they are with the enemy.
Pitcher, number 41, Randy Johnson.
I am pretty much set against booing players in the team I root for, Terry Glenn and Chris Canty aside, but there is nothing wrong with booing people from the other team. That is part of being a fan of a team, wanting the Red Sox to win but not cheering them or booing the Yankees and watching to enjoy the game sounds to me like a baseball fan who likes the Red Sox, not a Red Sox fan. I know I won't convince you, but I had to say my piece.
Good email.
Yeah.
Excellent email.
Good email.
On point, as they say.
Another person who doesn't understand what I'm trying to say.
Very astute emailer.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't boo anybody. I'm just saying that you're booing him for no reason.
No, he said.
That's
he,
all I'm saying.
I gave like his 12 reasons.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. I don't want him to do well. I want him to do well. He's on the Yankees now. I hate the Yankees. I don't want him to do well. I'm totally in agreement with everything you're saying except for that. Why do you boo him for no reason?
It's
if he does something, boo him. That's what I don't understand.
He went to the Yankees.
He didn't do anything, Fred.
He went to the Yankees.
So what does that mean? He went to the Yankees. You can't have every. You're the one who taught me that more than everything with Drew Bledsoe.
So you
can't have all your players forever.
You have fun with it. You have fun with it.
But see, but that's but this is where you and I differ, Fred. I don't think people are having fun with it. People aren't booing him because it's fun.
I think the majority are.
I think that email just indicated it's not fun. It's because they went to the enemy.
Dan,
you have to boo them.
Dan,
fun. It's what you do.
Make your top 10 list of why Paul's wrong.
Dan, and I just want to say, last year the quote unquote classy Yankee fans booed Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter at Yankee Stadium,
and they booed David Wells
because Yankee fans are the most overrated bunch of jerks in the history of sports.
Yes.
And if you are a Yankee fan, I can't stand you. So there.
Yeah, I also didn't like Joe Torre popping off.
That was ridiculous.
Disrespectful, and the fans shouldn't.
I thought that, see, now,
whiners.
Your own players and keep your mouth shut.
Whiners.
Keep your big nose in your own business.
And I totally agree with that, and I agreed wholeheartedly with Jerry Callahan said about that. You know, it was nice when Joe Torre had a health issue a couple years ago, and he came back his first game. It was like in the middle of May, it was at Fenway, and you got a rousing ovation when he came and brought the lineup card out to home plate. I don't understand why you can't do that.
You can do that. You should do that.
I'm saying, I don't understand why you can't do that. I mean, does anybody want Joe Torre to do well? No.
No, they cheered him because it was a health thing.
No, it had nothing to do with baseball.
Exactly. So, obviously, it's not about the Yankees and the hatred of the rivalry.
Well, that's a little different.
Paul,
that was a real-world issue.
You're lost.
That's a real-world issue, Tom. Did you get that one? Once again, the man of the people is talking about real-world issues.
Who supersedes any stupid rivalry?
That's why I think Joe Torre was out of line.
That right there proves it's a game and it's all fun. When it was real, when the guy had a health issue, they cheered him.
Whatever.
If Johnny Damon had if he came up with like he was going to die of lung cancer tomorrow, they would cheer him in his first at bat at Fenway Park.
Absolutely,
standing ovation. There,
Johnny Damon
would
have been booed if he went to any other team.
Not as loudly.
Not as loudly, but he would have been booed a little.
He wouldn't have been booed at all.
Yeah, he would.
He got booed because he's on the Yankees.
That's one of the reasons, yeah.
The only reason.
The perception that he took more money to go elsewhere, he would have booed.
If he took the same amount of money to go to... If he took the same amount of money to go to the Los Angeles Angels...
Of Anaheim.
He would not have been booed.
Oh, man.
Just like Orlando Cabrera was wildly cheered when he came back with the Angels the first time. He took a lot of money.
The politically correct fan...
It's not politically correct. It's just a difference of opinion.
And the other thing about Damon is he's like... a prominent figure. He was like a lightning rod. People, you know, if he spoke slowly, they made fun of that. If he did, threw watermelons off his balcony, or pumpkins, whatever. He was a light... Orlando Cabrera made some great plays and otherwise was a nobody.
But he got wildly cheered.
Exactly. When you're a lightning rod, it's Fred's thing, the fine line between love and hate.
So I think
when you're a prominent figure to somebody, you either love him or hate him, and it can change easily.
See, I think it's totally different than that. I think it's you're either relevant or you're irrelevant. And if you get if you're treated with indifference, then obviously you didn't make a big enough of an impact when you come back.
Right.
You know, Mike Myers, for example, with the Yankees.
But
no one really cared enough about Mike Myers to give him any sort of reaction at all.
Exactly.
But Orlando Cabrera obviously was a high-profile enough guy to elicit a big-time response.
Right, a cheer.
Because he's on the Angels. If he came back for the Yankees, he would have gotten the Damon treatment the same way.
I don't think he's enough.
Just like David Wells said, when he was with San Diego and he went back to the Yankees, they cheered him. When he was with the Red Sox, they booed the crap out of him.
Figure to register.
I almost let a Fred one go right there.
Uh-oh.
What did you say, an F-bomb?
Getting all worked up.
No, I said they booed the crap out of him, but I almost did a Fred and said a different word.
All right.
Fred, you have the biggest part
shut up and worry about your own team.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I'm going to boo him now. Medical history or not.
Joey Four Rings.
Crap.
Keep your mouth shut.
I could never have predicted that this show would be a debate on whether or not you should boo.
Why? That's you yell at me.
The beauty of this show is you never know where it's going.
Plus, how do you not know where it's going? You yell at me for this at least three times a year.
I had no idea.
And you didn't have a problem when I was booing Ayla Brown the other day when she was singing at the
I didn't have a problem with that?
No, you didn't seem to. You kind of laughed.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Now that's booing for no reason.
No, because I hate her. Boo because I hate, and I hate her.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Check us out next Wednesday. We'll have more information. Rookie camp's coming up next week, but there'll be some stuff to talk about. Don't worry.